Following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mack Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Yeah, what's poppin'? Take two. We're in the DealsNitty.com studios, and it's a special day because it's the Tuesday show, and Kurt Gibson.
Yeah.
Did I say Kurt? I meant Kirk Gibson is coming in.
People probably screw that up all the time, Kurt and Kurtz.
I don't think I quite ever had it right. I don't know why. Kirk is fairly easy. Are there many Kirks out there now?
Captain
Kirk. James T. Kirk.
Kirk Van Houten.
Kirk. Malby.
Yeah, it seems like it's one of those names that sort of went by the wayside. I don't know why.
Really? It's a good, strong name.
I would agree. Facebook Live will be brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. As summer begins to wind down, don't forget about the Mesa Tacos and Tequila giant indoor-outdoor patio. It's open, full of good times. Original handcrafted cocktails and delicious Mexican delicacies. And, of course, the Dream Cruise is coming up, Arts, Beats, and Eats. And Mesa is, that's kind of your homeroom for those events.
Oh, yeah. You know what? An escape, too.
Yes.
Get away from the madness, but
a
so
safe
close.
Space.
It
a
is safe space.
Space.
Amen. So, think about that. Mesa Tacos and Tequilas between 3rd and 4th Street in downtown Royal Oak, where it's all happening. And what a crazy, crazy few days, maybe just a little over a week now, we've been through. This Epstein thing is just nuts. I still feel like we're just not getting enough data. I mean, how complicated is this? How long does it take to find out, hey, why is he off suicide watch? And why is there no cameras on him? And why is no one walking by his cell?
It's crazy.
Does it take that long to find that out?
No. No.
I wonder,
that mystery.
Did Jeff set up so that he could get those people to pay no attention while he hung himself? That's the weirdest extrapolation. Because you know, a lot of people think that Russians killed him.
I'm generally...
Bill Clinton killed him.
They had a giant prototype cruise missile explode, too, in northern Russia, which is the worst release of radiation since Chernobyl. And, no information available on that either.
Well, in 10 years, we'll have a great HBO special. Yeah.
So it'll be good TV.
Uranium
More like 30 years.
This thing called nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of... things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
Oh, but do you know who is behind the Russian aspect of killing Jeffrey Epstein?
Oh, who?
Alec Baldwin.
Oh, that's right. Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin thinks the Russians killed Jeffrey Epstein?
He tweeted out.
For Tarek Bowie.
The Russians killed Epstein. They're in charge of everything now.
In 1992, I had sex with the Queen of Monaco. I had my entire fist up her ass.
What a dick.
Wait. Is that a joke?
No, I think he's serious.
No, really? I think he wants
to put... Twitter, serious.
I think he wants his name in the mix of the crazy shit that's come out, including Prince Andrew.
Does Baldwin really want his name in this mix? Because he went to that party.
And he also defends Woody Allen vehemently.
Yeah.
Woody Allen's really the only person defending him that I can think of. Anyway.
Wait, Woody Allen is defending Jeffrey Epstein?
No. Alec Baldwin defends Woody Allen. And he actually goes after the daughter that says he molested her.
Mm. Oh, God.
I know. I don't get it.
Yeah, stay out of...
I don't understand. I don't understand
some
of this stuff,
Alec.
You know, sometimes you want political correctness to work in your favor, even though you don't favor the whole thing. And I always feel like when people attack victims like the Michael Jackson victims, I expect them to be not canceled, but just somethinged.
Canceled.
Somethinged.
You're canceled.
Yeah.
I'm
not crazy about canceling people. I don't like this boycotting, canceling.
Look at what it did to Taylor Swift.
Was she canceled?
She said she was canceled.
In
2016, it caused all her mental illness. Story from yesterday.
What to make about that?
Is she okay? Can she afford to have counseling? Because
no
one in the world can.
I want to say this because I think I started on this path yesterday. I noticed that Miley Cyrus's
Hemsworth.
He's broken his
silence. Yeah, he's broken his silence. But yesterday.
you know, I saw some pictures of him. He looks and sounds really bummed out. And I know people go, oh, he's so handsome and all the chicks want him and he can pile into chicks. I probably said that. He could pile into a bundle of chicks today if he wanted to.
Sure.
But I think he's really upset. And today he spoke a little bit, and it's very apparent that splitting from his wife and having her making out with Caitlin Carter, you know, the day she shows her ring is off, and posting it all over going, look at me, woo, hey, I'm making out with a chick, isn't that hot? Really bothered him, as I would think it would.
Well, if you're a Hemsworth and you're upstaged by a Jenner... Or Brody Jenner's
assed off. His wife leaves the heterosexual world, and you're her last dude.
Right, but he's also a Hemsworth.
He's the penis
That's
that
important.
Turned her lesbian.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
She had I'm that penis joke, for 10 years, though.
I know. Every time I read about that thing, I hate Miley Cyrus more. She sounds doesn't she sound like just a horrible person? Yet all these people are going, "Oh my God, is that hot? Oh yeah."
She seems like a selfish person.
Yeah.
So
she needs time.
A libertine is
for
all she is.
Herself. She has no kids. She's just married to a guy, and she needs to focus on her career and herself. How much time? I mean, if you're married and you have no kids, you probably should have a lot of time, especially when the other person has a career. But I'm not going to tell her what to do. Obviously, no one is.
So did you see the fourth wheel in all this? What he said,
Brody Jenner?
Yeah. I thought his comment was actually kind of funny. About how, look out, there's going to be pictures of Liam and I holding hands on the beach soon. Just kind of, you know, the two leftovers.
It's sort of funny. Probably not funny to Liam, though. Liam sounds like he's really bummed. I mean, I feel for him.
And not only that, wasn't funny to Miley because she responded.
Take a cold shower and cool off or something?
Take a dip in your truck and cool off. Hashtag hot girl summer. What?
What? Just rubbing it in.
So she's assuming that she's giving him too big a boner. And
I guess. Whatever. Idiot.
Nice comeback!
Anyway, back to Jeffrey Epstein. He was taken off suicide watch at his lawyer's request. Okay, who cares what his lawyers request, first of all? Why are his lawyers deciding all these things, like all these things that got hidden and all these people that weren't charged? Why are his lawyers in charge of everything?
Great lawyer.
He pays them to do whatever he wants them to do.
But he's in the criminal justice system. He's in jail. And it seems to me that those people are supposed to become the experts on what should happen to this guy. Not his lawyers.
Court TV. Not the loophole in your case. I'm going to talk to the judge about a writ of habeas corpus. I'll put the system on trial.
I also
you have a 500 millionaire there in the middle of this, though. So not,
but he's
not,
a, he's a
not,
child molester.
Not
he's
a billionaire.
Serial. Child molester. I don't care about his lawyers. I don't care about him. It seems like he still is calling all the shots to the bitter end. I don't want this guy in my cell. I don't care if you want him in your cell. Fuck you.
But I'm glad.
Child molester.
I'm happy. I'm glad he's dead.
I'm glad he's dead, too. But I'm not glad that he doesn't have to. I mean, wouldn't that be the ultimate, seeing him found guilty, seeing him sitting in court as girl after girl after girl testifies about what a fucking creep he is? Wouldn't that have been nice?
Wouldn't
there also be the worry that maybe he'd get off on some weird technicality maybe he would enjoy seeing all these girls?
Or escape like that killer did in. Where was that in the South where the guy's on
the Tennessee guy?
He's on like a side of the road detail, a mowing detail, and he's just like, I'm out.
Hey, serious issue, Shadow Thought on that guy? And, you know, they busted him because of the doorbell camera.
Oh, yeah.
Refrigerator on the porch?
Oh, well, you know.
Did you notice that? That's how they got him. He went to their fridge that was on their porch.
Was it a little one or a big one?
No, it was a full-size fridge.
Beer fridge stocked with lots of beer.
A porch in Tennessee?
So that's how I got the name. A fridge.
Well, you can't put it in the garage? I mean, that's where my other fridge is, or in the backyard. Why in the porch? Maybe it's a welcoming fridge.
I'm maybe like sitting on the porch and drinking beer.
Yeah, you don't want to go far.
That's my guess.
You're like... a couple of cold.
Why don't you put one on your porch?
I miss the old fridge drops.
Your porch, by the way, looking sweet.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't believe that.
Someone acknowledges the fine work being done as I try to turn this piece of shit house into something presentable.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Thank God for Antonio.
Nice. And the back, too. You have a triangle back there. I'm not sure what that's for.
Come on, your house sucks.
It's not done, Trudy. Just wait.
Okay. Oh.
Just wait.
Your landscaping.
Nobody likes your house anyway.
Your landscaping.
Yes, well.
I've been out there working, too. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Epstein, there is no video. They apparently didn't check him for hours. Hours.
Good.
They're supposed to check him every 30 minutes. They check him for hours. I don't know. I'm like you, Mark. I don't like conspiracy theories, but I'm really intrigued by this story. This is a guy I just didn't think they'd take their eye off.
Mm. Well, the one thing about the conspiracy theories that's driving me nuts. Yeah, I can understand why somebody would want to have him killed, but this other theory that they left him alone so he could kill himself.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if that was like a benefit to him, then why wouldn't they just leave him alone so he could escape?
I don't think anybody wants him to escape.
No one wants him.
No, but I mean, that's what they were. Some conspiracy theories were acting like that. Like
no,
they,
he just figures.
Well, some people think it wasn't him. It's a guy with a different nose and different ears.
So stupid.
Oh, no way.
Picture, did you see the picture of him dead next to the picture of him alive?
No one. No, they didn't go there, did they?
Yeah, oh, yeah. At Brandon, really? Am I wrong about that?
Oh, I've seen a ton of
the before and
photos.
After? And
oh, yeah. Oh, tons
but
of
they're
pictures.
Using
well, they
picture,
did face off?
They're using a picture of Epstein from 1990. So, of course, his facial features, his ears, they're going to change here and there.
Yeah.
Looks
definitely.
Like you're keeping your bod pretty tight.
It looks like him to me.
It's him. Talking about
anyway, William Barr, the Attorney General, is appalled at the suicide.
Oh, it's good. He's appalled about something.
And apparently people working overtime multiple nights in a row on the midnight shift, which has just made me laugh. It's like, you know, we all, Alec Baldwin says it's Russia and, you know, Hillary and Bill and Trump and all these people. And the cover of our show yesterday was brilliant, Brandon, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Trump was guarding the cell. And what was Hillary doing?
What? Whose execution?
It was your execution.
Can't let Brandon get too much credit, can we?
It was like seven layers. It took like...
Oh, I was very impressive. Well done.
It looked like a
Wait,
lot of
what's,
work.
What's Trump?
Is it 10 hours a day, isn't it? I put in work.
The Donald
Trump
and
is the
Hillary
guard.
Are both guards.
Oh, they're both guards?
Let me ask your opinion. I didn't want to put Trump in it. I just wanted it to be Hillary.
I like Trump in it. I thought it was...
Okay.
I think you kind of have to have both.
Yeah,
otherwise,
they try to be
like, why isn't Trump in there? Trump
exactly.
killed his Trump body count.
Exactly, because Bill's not in there either.
I feel like Bill needs to be there. It's funny because this story, I feel like, is focused a lot more on Trump, especially since the video came out of him dancing.
Oh, yes.
And Trump...
Really?
Well, yeah, his quote, too, about the younger girls on the younger side.
Okay.
But he's the president, so I guess...
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
All I hear is Clinton, because there's a much stronger connection.
Well, there is a much stronger connection, but it seems that it gets... in fact, this is...
Plus, there's real stuff to be worried about with Trump, I suppose.
I hate even bringing this up, but Don Trump Jr. complained because Twitter removed Clinton Epstein...
The Clinton body count.
Clinton body count from Twitter... And they left Trump body count up there, and the Clinton body count had more tweets.
Okay. That's what's important right now.
You know, does someone do this for Donald Jr. and tell him, you're not going to believe this? Or is he on Twitter actually checking the numbers?
Probably his girlfriend. What's her name?
Fox
Kimberly.
News.
Yeah.
Guilfoyle. But we were talking about that yesterday. They were both trending when he tweeted
they were both,
that out, so
yeah,
I don't know what he's
they
talking
were.
About.
I don't know. Don't ask me.
Did you see the other celebrity that has entered the Jeffrey Epstein story?
No, I didn't.
In a manuscript of the memoirs of, I suppose, the... Oh, no, Virginia. Is it Jeffrey? How do you pronounce her last name?
Who?
Jeffrey.
The one who filed everything.
I think it's Jeffrey. I think I've heard
okay.
of it.
Okay, so Virginia
that
Jeffrey
one.
Claimed
oh,
that...
Oh, Jeffrey. Yeah, G-I-U-F-F-R-E.
Yeah, that Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's lawyer and accused underage girl recruiter, performed a sex act on... Do you want to guess what celebrity?
Oh, a celebrity?
Yeah, I'll keep reading and then you
Prince
think
Andrew? No, he's already in this. There's a new.
A real celebrity.
She
wrote, once she came back, once she came back giddy as a schoolgirl with an explosion of news, with all the buildup and excitement in her voice, you would think she was the next crown princess. But she had just given blank a blowjob in the bathroom at some random event, and she never let that one down, wrote Jeffrey in the manuscript.
Who?
George Clooney.
What? George Clooney.
No. Ghislaine Maxwell blew George Clooney.
He's allowed to get a BJ from some rando chick.
Well, no, I know. He didn't do anything wrong. She's of age.
George Clooney. You've been reading about all that? You've been seeing that?
I often wonder.
She was old enough at the time? So Clooney got.
Ghislaine's old.
Oh, Jizz did. Oh, I see.
Jizz I wonder did. If George Clooney and Brad Pitt, if those two guys ever just once in a while go, you know, I'm Brad Pitt. I'm just going to go out and get a couple rando BJs at clubs. Totally. You would think they would because they can't help it. And the girls will be hot, too. They can have their pick, right?
Maybe they'd be worried about a Boris Becker. Is it Boris Becker there?
Yeah. Yeah, got a girl pregnant in a closet.
Blowjob or something.
I don't know if I worry about that. I worry about, you know, mouth to... I mean,
once in a while, just once.
We're not worried about that.
Transmitted or something like that.
Epstein, just once in a while.
Epstein apparently also kept a diary as an insurance policy. I don't know if you saw that.
Jizz did?
With all his famous.
Epstein did.
Oh, Epstein.
With all his.
Where's the diary?
For short.
Nobody. Well, I don't know where the diary is. Okay. Sources told the London Mirror, Daily Mirror, whatever the
diary.
Could you imagine, though, if he had a diary of everything he did?
Pretty wacky.
Diarrhea?
I know a few people would like to see that, including me.
Explosive.
The dog days of summer are here and can only mean one thing. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is on fire with their summer clearance event. The all-new 2020 models are on their way, and our friends at Zot need to make some room, so it's time for the lowest of the low lease payments on your next new ride from Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Including a 19 Jeep Compass as low as $166 a month, a 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $248 a month, and then Ram trucks, which we all love. You can go lease a new 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $149 a month during Zot's summer clearance event. The longer you wait, the fewer low price rides you will have to choose from. So don't delay. Surf there soon. Not to be massive inventory at dealsinad.com. Was Kirk Ibsen in the house?
False alarm.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, dogs.
They were dogs?
The dogs barked, and that's why we checked.
I know, but what were they barking at?
Well, I don't know. They have their own agenda.
Usually there's a rhyme to their reason, a reason to their rhyme, a reason to their bark.
Your guys who are, like, doing the renovation, maybe.
Yeah, there's been some landscaping sounds.
Because they're minorities?
Oh,
just kidding.
20 years ago, Michigan's most experienced ophthalmologist, Dr. Yeller, began performing LASIK, and he's got over 30,000 satisfied patients, the majority of whom got better than 20/20 vision. Corrective eye surgery is about quality of life, has been determined to be the safest surgery in all of medicine. Some 600,000 Americans get it every year. He's also done 20,000 multifocal lens exchange procedures, which eliminates reading glasses for those 45 and over to go along with 20/20 or better for our vision. So it just takes a few minutes. It's painless. You get to throw away all the old technology. Never worry again. It's so easy. Go to Dr. Yeller for a free evaluation. They're offering $1,500 off the regular price. $1,500.
Well,
$1,500. Just tell them Drew and Mike sent you. Call 800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to the Yaldo Eye Center. Mm. Okay. Yeah. And,
okay.
The explosion of the Russian missile site was probably the biggest breaking news today. And then the Department of Justice is charging a friend of the Dayton shooter who provided the body armor.
Really?
Yeah. I was excited about
that's
that.
Completion of one of your wishes.
Charging him with what?
Accessory. That's accessory.
I guess
they're saying he knew he was going to do this.
Apparently he had some idea what this body armor is going to be used for. I don't know.
Oh, he's a friend. He doesn't know his friend is absolutely insane. That guy from Dayton, come on.
I suppose.
He was working on crazy for a really long time.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, I always feel that they don't spend enough time going after. You know, there was a story about somebody who, let's see, they were wanted. Oh, it was the guy that murdered the guy from Berkeley. And he had someone harboring him. Yeah. And I was like, charge them. I want them charged. And I feel the same way when people just pass around guns to complete asshole felons and they go and commit. You never hear about the people being charged, do you?
Well,
I mean, it's rare.
Right,
wait,
now
here
you
we
did.
Go.
Yeah.
I know. I'm happy. And then also important breaking news today. Lenny Dykstra will fight the bagel boss guy.
Oh, my God. He'll destroy him.
It's official. September 7th. And Lenny is working out now as we speak.
He'll
murder him.
I would think so, too. Although bagel boss has been working out.
Oh, please.
Oh,
still
on.
4 feet tall.
I know.
How tall is Lenny?
Lenny's not super tall. Lenny's like 5'8", I think, 5'9".
Really? Wow.
Yeah, but that's a lot of difference.
Sure.
So.
It's a lot of caged up rage there, too. He's 5'10".
Oh, is he 5'10"?
It says here.
Ooh.
He always looks short.
Yeah, he does look short. Well, he's kind of stumpy these days.
Well, next to 6'6" Daryl Strawberry, I guess everybody's
yeah,
short.
Yeah, everybody looks short.
Lenny's put on a lot of weight.
6'3", Doc Gooden.
You like what you see, huh?
Well, he's always next to those two guys, by the way.
And the Mets.
There was also the Freedom Hill concert cancellation last night.
Wow.
The Flatbush Zombies and Joey Badass were supposed to perform
That's
there.
That's his given name, by the way.
Long lines
from the long line of badasses.
And there's a guy named Flatbush Zombie, too. So, but, you know, how ridiculous is this? This is just insane. These threat people, by the way, should no more guns for you. You made a threat. You entered a concert. No more guns for you. You entered a concert.
Agree.
And if you get school, I don't care if you're 12 and you call a school and you say you're going to blow it up. No more nothing for you. No more guns for you. Ever.
But you still have to go to school? Or no more school for
I don't
you.
Know. Maybe secret school.
You have to be homeschooled.
Maybe.
That's your punishment.
Maybe. I haven't gotten to that part yet. And there's somebody else. There was another no more guns for you. Who was this guy? Oh! This guy was charged with threatening Royal Oak police. Okay, they're responding to, I believe it's a medical emergency. And there's a few police cars. And some guy is driving around the perimeter of them, flashing his gun, which is not registered to him, by the way, saying that he's going to kill these police.
Great.
And, you know, he's just having a blast, and the passengers are laughing, and he put this on Snapchat. Well, they've been looking for this guy for 5 months, and they finally found him, and they are charging him. And
good.
No more guns for you either. Or for the guy who gave you his gun. Gave you the unregistered gun that's not registered to him.
Do they even know who that is?
No more. I don't care.
That's
no more guns
with
for them.
Not being registered.
Well, it's not registered
one,
to him.
That's step one to enact your no more guns for you rule.
Oh man,
that's good though. At least
I was glad. I was delighted, and they talked about how much time police are spending on social media, which is like, oh my god, where do you even start on social media to look for stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane, isn't it? It's crazy.
Can't they make an algorithm to find things? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably. I guess. Let's see. How far are we from Gibby time? Oh, close.
Could be any minute.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap, selling cars like candy bars, slinging heaps to all good peeps. Zot, Ford, and Holly. That's what they're all about. Zot Ford is known for their massive inventory award-winning coffee, leather massage chairs, fresh-style movie-style popcorn, foosball, great deals. Man, we've had a couple hundred people go there just in the last couple of years. And in the last year, I think we had 175. And also fast-friendly customer service. So if you're interested in supporting the podcast and saving fat stacks of cash while buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, head to Zot Ford today. That's where Gary, Gabar, Anthony, Janie, Stacy, or any member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County will make all of your automotive dreams come true. Just ask Pedro and surf their bombastic deals in mass inventory at dealsinthed.com. Trudy, can you be troubled to tell us about Dr. Roche? Or is Skibby
It looks like she could be troubled.
My car for Kirk Gibson.
What?
She's moving.
Oh, Gibby's here?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Hall Financial, top mortgage company in Michigan for client service. Big supporters of our show. David Hall and Hall Financial are the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention, and over 750 five-star ratings from Hall Financial. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. Or click the link on our website, Drew and Mike Show. Fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you. Or call 248-308-5000. So many satisfied customers. They'd love to save money for you on a refi. If you don't want to save money on a refi, do not call Hall Financial. Don't.
And if you don't want to look better, then do not go to Dr.
No,
Roche.
Don't.
But if you want to look better, they have some amazing August specials. And a lot of the procedures include a free syringe of Restylane, which is the filler that they sometimes put in your face in different spaces, and Dr. Roche is especially expert at that for making you look unlined and not as weary and not as old with a free syringe of
Restylane. I like less weary.
which is a $600. You do look weary.
They're tossing that wrestle around. You got to love that.
They are. With some of their amazing August specials, like $500 off one area of Body Titan's 360 Lipo with a free syringe of Restylane. Also, Summer Saline Breast Special, $3,500 plus a free syringe of Restylane, a three-treatment package of $3,850 for Diva, three treatments of Diva for $3,850 plus a free G-spot, $1,200 value, and a free syringe of Restylane. So,
how cool is that?
All of those things, all those different procedures that come with making you look more youthful and younger and fresher. Get ready for, you know, Labor Day over the weekend if you have a couple of days. Those are also non-invasive procedures or minimally invasive procedures, which you can kind of go the next day to work or wherever you need to after the weekend. So that's cool. 248-338-1110 for Dr. Roche. Or DRROCHE.com. You can check out some of those procedures. See what they do. All the visible differences caused there with their amazing August specials.
I'm going to mention, because Gibby will be here in a minute, that he's got an event at the Motor City Soundboard, October the 19th. Everybody versus Parkinson's. www.evsp.org. That's www.evsp.org. It's presented by Blue Cross.
All of them. All of them.
How about Blue Cross? Blue Shield. And there's a VIP cocktail reception with a strolling dinner, live entertainment, dancing, silent and live auction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fun.
And www.evsp.org. I think there's a whole
party. I'll bring the cookies.
I did bring cookies, by the way.
You did?
Yeah.
I think he's calling in some favors for this. I think there's going to be a lot of... I heard there are going to be some big names at this thing. We'll
really?
Find out in a minute. Yeah, well, Kippy's been around a long time.
Nice.
And I saw Rosie at the women's night yesterday.
Was he holding court?
Cooking, yes, he was. Of course he was holding court. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Oh, you're welcome.
He is, that is his official title, court holder. And they're still their brothers-in-law, right? That's not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's kind of.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Jeez.
Get him. Get him.
My God.
Lines form on my face and hands. Still have my hair, but I have no ass. Forget my name in most of my plans. I was a boy, now I'm an old man. I'm 70, it's getting harder to stand. I'm 70, and I poop in my pants. I'm 70, and I'm here to stay. I'm eating prunes every day.
That's Kirk Gibson, lead singing on I'm 70.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the
traction on your good.
Who's playing guitar on that?
Bobby East.
No, I don't.
Get this far. Nobody knows what I'm mumbling about. Oy vey! There's no reason to shout. I'm 70.
Sing along. You guys don't know this song?
I'm 70. I keep my teeth in a cup. 70, getting old kind of sucks.
Was this for Alice's birthday?
It was, yeah.
Are you guys buddies?
Yeah, we're acquaintances. We've known him for a while. When he comes in, he's a big baseball fan. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Comes to Detroit. We've been going for years, and we've got mutual friends. And Shep Gordon.
Yes.
And he's a Lisco. He's a concert promoter down in Phoenix.
Shep Gordon's the manager, isn't he? Yeah.
That was Shep was super mensch. Yep.
Great
book. You
see
that film? Yeah,
I did see the documentary. I was thinking, God, it would be cool to have a manager like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
he's a good guy.
One of those get things done.
Got
types.
The cokes out.
How you feeling, Gibby?
Feel good.
Do you?
Yeah,
good.
I mean, for the most part, you learn what you got to deal with, what schedule you want to keep, which is rigorous, and you go for it.
Well, you come down the stairs, and I saw you like, wow, this is still Kirk Gibson. You look like the imposing athletic guy I've always known.
Yeah, I'm obviously not as coordinated. The disease I have is a neurological disease, and I'm not as coordinated. But I try to be, and I work at it, and I try and stay in constant movement.
Hard and loud.
A lot of ping pong, a lot of pool.
Really?
Whatever. Yeah. We're going to try water skiing one more time. I blew my hammy out last time I did it. Out of the minor leagues and helped the youngsters with some technique. You know, when you have less physical ability, you get smarter and you use your wisdom to refine your technique. So,
well,
kind of my life.
It was interesting. I was reading about it this morning because you were coming in, and, of course, I'm such a prepared guy. And it was talking about how when you, I think it was when you were wrapping up managing at Arizona, that your left side just – and you'd had a bunch of surgeries, and so you felt like, you know, it was related to the surgeries. But then you find out, no. And so when you get diagnosed, you get all these exercises, and you're, I think at the time you were saying your left arm, you were using it more effectively than you were, had been when you didn't know what was going on.
You learn how to deal with it. So I'll give you a quick tour of Parkinson's. Your movements are coordinated by dopamine, which is produced in your brain by neurons. In Parkinson's, there's a process that attacks the neurons. And what is that?
I know.
Fruit.
Doesn't really seem to fit the room.
I know it doesn't. It looks like
that little thing that looks like something else. I'm sure I want to bite into that. Is this a trick?
No.
Anyway,
that would be a banana.
If you had,
if it was a trick.
So if you had less to, you know, you just have to kind of relearn how to do stuff. So that's what we do.
Well, on the broadcast, honestly, you sound fine to me.
Yeah. At times, you know, I have my voice gets weak, and what did we just have? We had. Like 5 games in 4 days, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to watch my voice, and I have to do exercises. One of the things about having Parkinson's is when you realize it, you're trying to hide the fact that people are saying, "Well, what's wrong with Gibby?" You know, you could tell. I can.
Is that the part you hate the most?
Oh, I mean, I came clean as soon as I knew.
Yeah.
Because once I found out, I just like to. You know, I like to do things. I like to compete, and I like to be coordinated, and, you know, now really into helping others. It's rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've come a long way. You know, just I forgot where I saw this today, but it wasn't anything I didn't know. It was about how I'm trying to think of the adjective they used. It's just something about how difficult you were in the 80s, you know, when you were a player and just unpleasant to reporters and
The opponent I was playing against, by the way,
absolutely.
That's what I was there for.
Yeah. And you don't, does that side of you, is it still there, or do you just feel like you've evolved? I mean, I'm not really sure, because I always felt sort of intimidated by you when first couple times I interviewed you, because I said, oh my God, Kurt's tough.
I am tough.
He doesn't suffer fools.
Drew, it's still there, because he's still kind of intimidating.
I agree.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. I think it makes you sharp if you're intimidated by someone. I feel sharper when somebody who intimidates me a little bit's around.
You're on your toes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's we all have gifts, and let's just call it aggressive. And if you call it intimidating, like when I was playing and I put my jersey on and my uniform, I was all business. And I was just talking to somebody. I was golfing with some gentlemen the other day. And we got going through the history of my advancement, I guess, athletically.
Mm-hmm.
And really, which made me overwhelmed in society. I was nervous.
You mean fans?
Just from people in general. I was the next Mickey Mantle. I went from a nobody when I went to Michigan State in an environment that was really demanding physically, mentally. And, you know, you've been to a football practice.
Sure.
When they run a play, what happens after the play's over? How many whistles blow?
Beep.
Yeah. And everybody's running in there. You got the tight end coach on the tight ends. You got the quarterback coach on the quarterbacks. You got the guard coach, the center coach, the D coaches, and they're going ballistic. And it's an intense, demanding, do it the right way, and it's all about the technique and how to dominate your opponent, both mentally and physically. Well, I thrived in that environment, and I had a good career at Michigan State. But the one thing I've always had trouble with is now you're told to kill the guy that you're competing against. And then you're supposed to go take a shower, and you're supposed to be nice. I had trouble with that switch.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me, some of these guys that are so friendly with the media. Did you find that kind of annoying, the guys that were always giving the quotes, or did you feel like they took the pressure off you?
I gave quotes. In fact, Sparky asked me on more than one occasion. He felt we were a little tight, that if I did something foolish, that we could relax the rest of the team. He had this saying, can you take it? I said, take what? He says, can you take it? And basically meaning anything for the good of our environment. And so he would say, you know, we just lost 6 in a row. Why don't you go out there and make a fool of yourself, and then everybody else can relax and play, and then you can take it. I'm willing to do that. I do that for my friends, my family, my teammates. So it's almost like a diversionary tactic.
Sure, lightning rod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, like Mark Fidrich, for example. He just seemed like he was having so much fun all the time. And granted, he wasn't on a championship team, but, you know, he was pitched fantastic for a very short time, and yet he seemed to be having such a blast. I mean, that's just a different personality, I guess.
Did have a blast, and so did I. So it's just what suits you. Like, I had the ability. I was big, and I was fast, and I was aggressive. And within the rules of the game, when I played, you know, when I was on first base, my job was to get home. If I couldn't get home, it was to ensure that the next guy could get home. So when the ball was hit on the ground, I was going to go down there and get him. I mean, I enjoyed it. And I used to tell him, you know, fairly enough, you know, just get that ball and step off the bag. I'm coming after you. You know, I'm not trying to hurt you, but I will do what it takes to win.
And 4.28, you're sticking to that? Your 40 time?
Who cares? I mean, I got to where I had to go, I think.
You did.
You want a race, by the way?
No, I don't think I want to race you.
Why not?
Because I don't think I think I'd lose.
Somebody's going to blow a hamstring.
What do you think you could run a 40 in now? Could you 5?
Maybe, but I'd probably blow out. I mean, yeah. I've been on the field a couple times, and for batting practice in the minor leagues, and I just, when the last guy hits, you know, they kind of like weakly jog off. I take off, and then somebody will see me coming, and they'll start going up, but I usually try and get a head start so they can't catch me. But I know I can feel it in my legs. Just don't go too far, because I did blow it out, 4 years ago, Kirk? Skiing. My son, Kirk Roberts, here.
He's a big listener of
the
show.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Since when you were how old?
Our mom used to put your guys' show on in the kitchen before we were going to school, where we'd eat our like cereal and stuff.
Best parents ever.
Yeah.
Oh, how cool is that?
Since the mid-90s. Wow. I watched the original electric football competition.
Don't tell them the secrets.
It was tough. I've heard a lot about that defeat for a long time.
Well, you know, it hurts.
It did hurt. It still hurts.
I mean, I got to tell you, you wanted to beat us, I could tell.
I did. Absolutely did.
But you didn't, so you're after me now. I know you're up to something. I know you're up to something.
I love that you don't ever let him forget.
He's going to try and get me. I got him.
Well, you know what I saw yesterday, by the way? I was at the ballpark. First of all, I saw Rosema. He was in the Champions Club.
Holding court.
Yes.
Uncle Dave?
Yes.
He's known in our family wedding that we had Sunday, Uncle Dave.
I said his occupation, and I don't think anyone disagrees with me, is holding court. Is that his occupation officially?
He's good at it, isn't he?
He is great.
He's unbelievable. He's a great father. He's loved in our family. We've got a huge family. We've got nieces and nephews. Our get-togethers are something that you would really enjoy and everybody would enjoy, and we're very fortunate to have that. And Uncle Dave keeps it humorous, keeps it light.
Boy, he does. He is now. He's a super friendly guy. I don't believe he ever tore into sports writers. Did he?
I don't know, but he did some things that I didn't do too.
I definitely believe that. He's a lot of fun. He's a great guy. I love him. I saw the quad screen you guys had yesterday, and it was Kirk. It was you. Looked like you were hitting a good line drive in a Tiger uniform, a Dodger uniform, a Pittsburgh uniform, and a Kansas City uniform. Did anybody see that besides me?
Yeah, it was a progression. Cool. It was the progression of a swing. My point is, they have so many young players. The way they are today, they won't be their whole career. You find ways to adapt given your situation, like in the Dodger one. I was hurt, and I had to find a way to get the bat to the ball, you know, the barrel to the ball. So that's what happens, and specifically I did a thing between Brandon Dixon and Jake Rogers. Dixon has made some incredible advancements this year. Rogers just came up here. He's overmatched, and he's going to have to as well. So, you know, I'm not here to tell him how to hit. I'm just saying be open-minded when your coaches are talking to you, your mentors, your players. And you will change over time. Embrace it. Don't fight it.
Well, I think you guys used a picture of this, too. Did you guys put that up on the screen?
Oh, look at that swing.
Is that you in one of your
Please
early
critique
shots?
That swing.
Who the hell is that?
That's the guy sitting across from you.
That's me.
Break down that swing.
Kind of weird, don't you?
Well, no, it looks
like you're slapping. That's
my eyes are on the ball. Look at my eyes.
Yeah, it looks like a pose.
No, that's a game. Look at my hips are open. My front leg is almost hyperextended.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Do you think that's a good swing?
Oh. Yeah, I think it was.
You know,
I do. It was a high pitch.
I can clean that up for you.
How long would
serious,
it take?
Serious business. You know who Jack White is?
Yes.
And Jack White had the game over in Hamtramck. And he asked me
stadium.
Yeah. He asked me if I could clean his swing up. And we went down to the Tigers' cages. They were on the road, and we spent some time, and he raked. So if I can help Jack White,
raked?
Yeah, he was into it, and he raked. So I'm serious. If you want to try it someday,
I'd love to do that.
You should auction that off as part of.
Yeah,
I was tweeting out.
You do that?
Yeah.
So what's the item?
Kirk Gibson straightens out your swing.
Batting practice, BP.
That's Kirk a great Gibson. Auction item. Softball guys, somebody would love that.
And a mutually agreeable
fun doing
time.
It anyway.
How about if we invite someone to our session?
Yeah, that's a great
idea.
Okay,
there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
like
for
it.
Drew. Yeah, okay.
I'll have to go to the batting cages for a couple of weeks beforehand.
Defeats the purpose.
It's going to happen quick. You're going to clean it up quick.
Okay.
So can Jack White, could he rake? Can he rake now?
He did in his game. Like I said, you know, there were a couple things that he had to make a few adjustments. He was a quick study. He's into it.
Are there other
He loves sports. He loves baseball.
Loves baseball, yeah.
Are there other celebrities like you've come across that think they can play or maybe can or can play? Like Garth Brooks is always a famous example because he went to spring
Tom
training.
Tom Selleck.
Selleck,
Tom
yeah.
Selleck, yeah. He went out of Tiger Stadium, I think, didn't he?
Today, so. Out of it?
Out, okay, a home run.
He had a home run. Allegedly.
Tom Selleck was in Tiger Stadium, and we said, "Why go out to right field?" And so everybody just pulled the ball. We were just hitting, raking bombs at him. He was
him run around.
Yeah, he won't talk to me anymore.
That's funny. How about rock and roller baseball fans? Jack White, Alice Cooper, many
Geddy
others.
Geddy Lee.
What's that?
Geddy Lee.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Geddy Lee in a while, but we used to see him early on. Jack, absolutely. Alice, for sure. Who else, Kirk? Eddie Vedder.
Oh, yeah. Big Cubs fan.
Big Cubs fan.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess baseball players sometimes wonder what it would be like to stand up stage and play a guitar, too.
Hell yeah.
Maybe the drums, I don't know.
And your favorite bands, have you met your favorite bands from being who you are?
We get around. We went to the Jazz Fest this year in New Orleans, and then the Stones got canceled.
Oof.
And then we just got back from there when they had the hurricane down there, but the Stones did go off. We've got to meet quite a few bands after the concerts. You know, we're just respectful, like the music. You know, my hearing's worse, so I seem to hear the drums better.
Really?
Yeah, the words are a little tougher, but my wife, Joanne, would you call mom kind of like a music historian a little bit?
She's a rock dog?
She's a cool chick.
Rock and roll? Cool.
Very.
I like that.
Well, you're really rifling through those notes right there. why is that last one got a red light blinking in it?
Let's see. Oh, I know. This one down here? You mean the squared thing?
Yeah.
Well, that was because I just was looking at your baseball reference, and I wrote down 1994 that your OPS was 906. That's the year before you retired.
Yeah.
The strike year.
Well, we went on strike.
Right. But I was looking at you had 23 homers and 72 RBIs at the strike date, which was August 11th. And if you extrapolate that year, your second to the last season, you would have had your biggest year. You would have had a big 35 bombs, 100 some ribbies.
Yeah, well, we went on strike, and then the next year, I was in 95, I was hurting. You hear those sports hernias or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we didn't know that's what they were at that time, and I really didn't say anything about it. But when I get out of bed, I was scuffling, and I'd played 17 years. And then we traded David Wells and Mike Hinman, our closer and our best pitcher. And I was just like, what am I doing trying to get out of bed every morning? I felt like they gave up. So I moved on. We were raising kids at that time. We got four kids now, and, you know, it was time to check in and enjoy the fun.
On the home run off Eckersley, I think as much as I love baseball, I think I forget that was so early in the series. And so I was watching it this morning.
Go ahead.
And I was thinking, could you have come back? That was your last at bat in the series, a home run.
Yeah, one at bat.
Could you have pinch hit again? Could you have played later in the series if it had gone that far?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I didn't think I'd
need to.
I didn't think I'd play there at that time. And actually, I told my wife, was with Kirk Robert. Yeah, it was in the third inning. I was in the training room icing my legs, and the clubhouse kid came up and said, your wife would like to talk to you. I went there, and she said, Kirk Robert's misbehaving. I'm just going to take off. I said, well, go. I'm not playing anyway. Well, I did play, and I guess they had a great dance in the living room in Santa Monica.
Oh, nice. Wow.
I found it amazing, too, that you felt the need to apologize, or at least say to Eckersley that you weren't showing him up. You were celebrating. Did you really think you were showing him up?
Initially, I really didn't even think of it. It was spontaneous. But we talked probably a couple of years after that. John Lowe from the Free Press got us together. I have that tape. And then over the years, we've been doing stuff together, and we've become fairly decent friends. He's funny.
It's such a great reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Funny.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Seed 88 right there where it landed, but I named it.
They have a marker. Don't they have a marker there?
Yeah, and they charge $300 a ticket, and then they donate the money to my Kirk Gibson Foundation for Parkinson's.
Wow.
They're awesome.
That's iconic, that the pump. But, yeah. But locally, I mean, I always remember I was 8 years old in 84, the cover of the Free Press.
Oh, yeah.
Great. That is such
what a
great
picture.
Yeah.
It is. Which home?
That's the Gibby home run to me.
Do you favor one of those home runs over the other? No, that's probably a ridiculous question, but.
You know what? I can't. There are great things about him. All I know is I wanted to win a World Series when I came in every year. And those both helped to do that. And it was a lot of fun. And I really don't rank them because they're it's different. We came up in Detroit as babies. But I went to Los Angeles. I mean, here I'm a kid that hadn't really been west of the Mississippi too much. I did go play against USC in my senior year of football. Other than that, California was, you know, you hear it's like La La Land, it's Hollywood and all that. So it is a cool stadium. You been there?
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't been there.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to.
There's another,
I've been to San Francisco.
There's another auction item there.
Yeah.
It really is cool, and it's no place like it.
I mentioned the event, and I'll mention it again. 10-19, October 19th, Motor City Soundboard, Everybody versus Parkinson's. And you can buy tickets, www.evsp.org. It's presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I don't mind mentioning the sponsor because that's my health care, too. And they're pretty good. Pretty good for me.
Yeah, you know, and guys like you can help me. You know, it's like we named it evsp.org. You go, there's a website. Because it is. It's got to be everybody. And I guess I grew up just north of Detroit. We've always been kind of a tough city. We've always kind of, I guess, ramped together. And this is no different. I'm hoping people will go and buy some tickets and help join the cause. Now, you might not think that you'll have Parkinson's or you know anybody that has Parkinson's, but you probably do know somebody, but you don't really know yet. There's about 30,000 people in Michigan that have it, over a million in the United States. It's going to double quickly. And, beyond having the disease, how can I explain it? I will do so at that gala that we're going to have. Not just me, but the people that have to deal with me. I mean, the caretakers, it's a bitch, you know. And it's like it's always something in all of our lives. You can think you're fighting something or there's something you don't like in your life. You want it to change. And I just think I've always been a team guy, ridiculously a team guy. And to have people come together, we've accomplished so much in the 3 or 4 years that I've been doing this. Michigan State, we raised $1.3 million, and we that the money's to work. When I found out I had it, I was on live TV, and I said, "Man, holy shit, what's going on?" I couldn't talk. I was
on opening day
in 2015.
Yeah, you couldn't smile.
I couldn't talk. I mean, I was locked up. I'd never had that. And, I went over to Grand Rapids and I was diagnosed and I went through therapy and, you do medicine. You got to have somebody there. It's a kick in the ass and you think you're going to die, but you might. But, you can take provisions to, still have a productive and fun life. And, you just got to count on the people around you. And consequently, I am one of those people for virtually everybody who has Parkinson's. I saw a guy the other day at a golf course, and he came up to me. I know that those people need somebody, so that's what we're doing. And I'm going to talk to you about becoming involved at some point if I could.
Sure, absolutely.
You got star power.
We'll sell some tickets, and I want to sell some tickets. I assume that you're calling in some favors for this, that there are going to be some of your friends, athletes that might be a draw as well. I mean, obviously helping Parkinson's is number one.
We will have some people there that you know. But the stars are the people that are helping people with this insidious disease. And it's going to be a good time. There'll be music for sure. There may be some humor. We're just going to get together. And it will be powerful, I promise you. But I brought you this, because I know you collect stuff. You got stuff around. This is one thing I brought you.
Hey, very nice.
You read it? My writing
sucks. Don't want to walk you. That's Sparky.
Yep.
Yeah, that's there's 12 of those balls. I'll never sign another ball that way.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll never sign it that way. And then we got
No, can
else.
I ask why there's 12 of them?
Because there's 12 in a box, so I figured I'd just do a box. But to keep it unique. Those are good.
Nice job, Brandon.
Wow.
I don't know. You might want this, or I'll do it for anybody that you have, or for charitable cause or whatever.
Oh, we could.
How about the bag? So many people can hear it. I actually hear it on the mic.
That's a good sound.
That's happened before.
Oh, look at that. Oh, my God.
It might be a little small for
nice.
Us.
Oh.
That could fit
very
me.
Very nice.
I'll sign it up. I mean, if you want to give it away to charity, that's
absolutely.
Fine.
No, yeah. we could auction it off.
Yeah.
We could auction the ball off, too. Although, I don't know if I want to auction the ball.
So I had a ball. Actually, I couldn't find it on short notice. I've got 24 balls that Dennis Eckersley and I signed, and he put he wrote on there, 3-2 backdoor slider, and I wrote, "She is gone." We signed it together. There's 24 of those.
Wow.
Because I'm just trying to, you want to have some of the unique moments be worth something to others, and, it has special meaning, obviously, to me, but if others can profit from it, maybe donate it to some place that somebody would want a ball like that.
And the gala is Saturday night, October 19th, and I noticed it's Michigan State's bye week, so that's very smart.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Michigan is on the road.
That's not a coincidence.
Michigan's at Penn State, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but state's
so,
up.
So, did you, we had Howard, the coach at Michigan.
Juwan Howard.
Juwan Howard. Yeah, he was in the Champions Club with Rosie Friday night.
Yeah,
Brandon was in there.
We had him on the game, and I asked him, I thought that we should get the two teams together. You know how the Patriots and the Lions got together?
Oh, practice. Yeah.
Let's get them together now.
Yeah, right.
Just for some fun stuff, and then and they hate each other when they play. Well, I mean, if you look at baseball, it's, I mean, and there's so much fraternization. It's incredible. I can't say I like it.
I don't like it either. I don't like the way the NBA players seem like they're all such buddies. Like, it almost doesn't matter who wins, we all win. Does it never seem that way to you?
I like competing at all times. I used to watch the NBA quite a bit. It seems like the fourth quarter is pretty good.
Yeah.
The All-Star games, I think that MLB does it right.
Oh,
they
yeah.
compete more. I liked it when it was for home field advantage in the series.
You like that?
I liked it. I mean, but the game overall is good, but there's an influx of change.
Oh, yeah. Those All-Star games, when I was a kid, and we're close in age, I remember so well 71 with all those Hall of Famers, and that was at Tiger Stadium. And 67.
Reggie.
Yeah, Reggie's home run.
Hightower.
Oh, God, what a blast that is. You can see the trajectory off the bat. It's insane. And then 67 was, I think, the first game I watched. It was in California. It was 1-1, 15th inning. And Tony Perez hit a solo home run, but the pitching in those games, Jenkins, I was a Cubs fan. Jenkins struck out five guys
Fergie.
In a row, I believe. Yeah, Fergie. Wow. Loved him. He was so good.
Historic career.
Yeah, 284 wins, 127 times, 125 first year in the American League with Texas.
Is that an apple?
That's an apple, yeah. That's one of the edible arrangements. Baseball apples.
I guess I should have asked before.
I know, I was trying to tell you, but I didn't want to get in the middle of Drew's story.
Yeah, don't interrupt.
Sorry, set
67 All-Star game.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
The All-Star games were just so larger than life to me when I was a kid. Sounds good. Tigers are opening 2020 on March.
You done with that apple car?
I'm done with that fart. Want that?
Grab paper towels, Trudy. I'm sorry.
You guys had that at the right temperature.
Just distracting. Amen. The 2020 Tiger opener, this was just announced today, is March 20th at Cleveland.
Ooh, it'd be chilly.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Why so early?
Are they ending the season earlier next year? Is the last game sooner?
I thought maybe they were spacing it out because there were so many cancellations.
How about the Olympics? Does that have anything to do with
it? Baseball is the day of the BCS.
I'll check.
I think it's going to be chilly, don't you?
Oh, yeah. March 20? I was just, I don't know. I don't really understand. There's a lot of things about baseball I don't understand. One of them is these World Series games in November, the very end of October. Mm-hmm. Your home run against the Dodgers, or against the A's, was October the 15th, wasn't it?
10-15-88.
There you go.
Trudy, and you got everything I mentioned.
I know. Except pizza. I failed on pizza.
I want you to come back.
Yeah, anytime. It's right in the neighborhood. My kids live right over here.
Oh, yeah? Who? Yeah. Kirk Robert?
Kirk Robert, Cam, Kevin, they all live right over here.
Oh. Oh. How's Cam doing?
Consequently, I'm moving over here, too.
Oh, are you? Hey, it's great over here.
You guys could go to the cages together, then.
Yeah. Ferndale's great.
You golfer?
No, but, you know, I stopped playing when I had back surgery, but I want to pick it up again.
I'd be a good guy to play because I stink.
When did you pick it up?
Oh, I try and play every day. I pick it up all the time.
He does not stink at golf, does he?
Yeah.
He plays golf every single morning. What does he shoot?
Depends.
A couple good ones, a couple bad ones.
You know what? I do good when if we compete, I think I'll be good.
The idea of competing with you is just so not in my wheelhouse. I'm not feeling it.
I'll tell you what.
But
we'll
maybe
do.
I'll do it.
You ever watch the Olympics when there's cross country skiing and they have to stop and shoot?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's like what it is when I play golf in the morning. I run to my ball. I hit. I run to the next one. Hit. So you get a good workout until you get your iPhone in your pocket. You don't know how long it took you.
Is he kidding? Is he pulling my leg? No. You know, you sound like Spielman. You and Spielman are a lot alike. when it comes to competing. He loves competing. His book, I couldn't believe the crazy stuff he did to compete with himself. I love Chris Spielman.
Got to push yourself, and he was a linebacker, so.
Yeah.
How much does attitude have to do with all of it? How you feel now?
It helps.
I mean, your attitude has to have carried you.
Yeah, but I struggle. I have my times, you know. But I push through the best I can.
And you can coach other people to be that.
I enjoy that.
All of it,
I really do. I see the kids down in the minors. You know, you come up, you have a lot of physical ability, not much knowledge, not much technique. Then your physical ability wanes a bit, and then you're so smart, you can still compete. But wouldn't it be good if you could teach the youngsters how to, with the wisdom, and they had it well, they had their physical ability, they'd be that much better. But, you know, when you see a guy in baseball, he's a little safer, he's a little out, there's a reason. And some may say I'm nitpicky, but I just think if you want to be a champion, if I do it and you're on the other side and you don't do it, I'm gonna win the tiebreaker. That's what I'm after.
Drew mentioned, little things matter.
Drew mentioned Fergie Jenkins. Do you remember hitting a home run off of him?
Was it inside of Parker?
I don't know. I was just looking at your home run log. Your third career home run was off of Fergie Jenkins.
The first was Steve Stone. Who was second?
Dennis Leonard.
That
the pitcher.
That was in the waterfall in Kansas City. Yeah,
nice.
Hit a bomb and a high fastball. I hit two high fastballs in my career. That one,
I love it.
Tom Hinkie.
That's what I was hitting in that picture, Kirk.
Oh,
that's
yeah, right.
I didn't recognize that.
High heater?
Tomahawk kind of?
It looked like they used somebody else. They superimposed somebody in there.
Who did you have the least amount of success? Like, what pitcher did you just hate to face?
Matt Young. Look him up.
Okay.
Matt Young, really?
What's the reason behind that one?
He's left-handed. I couldn't pick him up, and he had a big old curveball, and I just kept swinging. I learned how to play in the big leagues. You know, I mean, if you think about it, I played baseball in the summers when I was in junior high and high school, no looks at all. Then I got discovered by Michigan State, and you know, I was the last guy. You know, they have All-State and All-Americans. I was third-team honorable mention Oakland County.
For football?
Yeah.
Really?
And so I didn't play football, and my dad was always saying, come on, go out for baseball. I said, Dad, I'm on a football scholarship. I want to go to the NFL. And then my coach, who's now passed, Darryl Rogers, says, you want to be a top five pick in the NFL? I said, yeah. He says, go play baseball. I said, what? Said if you do anything in baseball, you'd be good. I got drafted by the Tigers as a junior.
So he meant as a bargaining chip.
Yeah,
and like Elway.
Yeah, I got drafted. I went down in after my junior year and between my senior year, played 50 some games. Came back, bought a van, bought a stereo. Guess what else I bought?
House,
motorcycle,
waterbed.
Oh, just wow. Cosmic.
What was your bonus?
Just a couple hundred.
It was pretty good for that time.
But
you had football as a bargaining chip. And in fact, they let you play your senior year, which I cannot believe they allowed you to do that.
Why?
Because they're paying you a lot of money.
They had insurance. And the thing about it is, I would not have done it because I was not going to leave my teammates. I had to go back. I mean, football was so fun. And, you know, we went there in 1974. State beat Ohio State on Levi Jackson's long run. That was our first game on national TV. I got my only penalty there. I got a clip. And then, you know, we were on our way. So it happens quick.
You mentioned the USC game earlier. What happened in the USC game?
They beat us. It was the last game we lost. Eddie Smith had broken his thumb earlier in the year.
Was it close?
Yeah, I don't know. They beat us up pretty good, I think. You guys just sit in here and tool around, don't you? Favorite show right now? What do they call it?
That's Inside Edition. Yeah.
Yeah, Inside Edition. What's that guy's name though?
Jim Murray.
Not that show. The guy they had on there, Dog.
Oh, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Had the dog on there.
Yeah, the dog. His wife just passed.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, it is tough, you know, having two screens there, and this guy is on the internet constantly finding breaking and new stuff, and then that's
somebody
screen.
Like that.
Yeah.
Family, yeah. The kids are amazing.
Yeah, they are.
As long as they don't do it at a stoplight. You ever notice that when you come? Do they do that on this side of town?
Absolutely.
Everyone's on that.
You give a toot toot or you go, when do you give?
Well, I'm pretty patient, but I'll just hit it lightly.
I'm usually on my phone, so I don't even realize.
I might be the one they're doing that for.
Yeah, exactly.
Your hands free home?
Yeah.
You're going to go to that. There's a charity hockey game Friday at the old Compuware Arena.
Don't tell me you're playing hockey.
No, I'm not going to play hockey. I can't do that because I ripped my groin I had a hernia because I was that sports. And
it's interesting though. You know, you've said two things you wouldn't do. One of them was hockey. One of them was race me, which I'm so glad you don't want to do that. But you said because I would hurt myself. You didn't say because I have Parkinson's.
Well, I don't know if the Parkinson's has anything to do with me hurting myself. I mean, if I didn't have it, I probably would too. I'm 62 years old. And
I know there's no reason for us to race.
In case, you know, I think I feel like I can do things, but the reality of it is I can't. But I have the attitude that I can. And whether I had Parkinson's or not, that would be the case.
Mm-hmm. The event is, again, October 19th, Motor City Soundboard, Everybody versus Parkinson's, www.evsp.org, presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield. And we've got, we already have something to auction off, this Kirk Gibson jersey from Kirk. His DNA is on it. And also, how can
what the hell is that?
That's our auctioneer.
That's our auction.
Yeah, but he's not saying anything. He's idling.
He's pretty good. He'll auction this ball off, too. That'll do real well. There's really only 24 of these?
There's 12 of those.
Oh, 12. There we go. Okay.
24 of the Eckersley balls.
Of the Eckersley balls. Okay. Cool.
So where are the guests, though? I mean, I might have...
Yeah, Kirk, he's kind of shorting us on star power. I know they're coming.
Yeah, we'll leave it that way.
It's a secret.
Why is it
a secret?
Why not?
Because we could sell more tickets if you spill a couple names.
Well, we'll spill them in time.
They'll trip out.
Yeah, it's hot tub.
One at a time.
Hmm. You're going to be there, right?
I'll be there.
Yeah.
But I'm not... You have bigger star power than me.
I thought you'd be a good host.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. This is feeling like a trap
now.
He
knows what he's doing.
I can't be there. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you don't have to do
that. I'll help out. No, I'll help. I'll help you. I'll help you.
Trav and Stevie Y will be there for sure. I did a thing with Billy Crystal moderating in L.A. for Joe Torre's charity. His wife has a cause. And he did a great job with the athletes. Kind of bringing out stories or whatever. I think you'd be really good at that.
Billy Crystal?
Billy did that, yeah.
Well, he's Billy Crystal.
We got to call him.
We'll talk about this. We will talk about this. www.evsp.org. And you said Alan Trammell and...
Steve will be there. But we're going to have some music and a couple things of music, and we'll have some humor there. And
do we have to dress up for this?
You don't have to. You can wear a Speedo if you want to. Speedo optional.
I got a suit for a wedding last year, so I do have a suit if I have to wear it.
So what? Tell me, when I know you work a lot. What do you do? What else do you hang? What's your hobby?
Music, baseball, sports.
You get hot every day?
Yeah.
I work out every day. I do work out.
So you got the top three in music?
My top three faves?
Beatles.
I love Elvis Costello. I don't know.
You at the concert at the Fox Hall when he kind of teased us?
Elvis?
Yeah.
I went to the show at the Fox about 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Was it November? It was very good.
I'm going to say it was 10 years ago or something at the Fox. We went and everybody wanted to hear all his hits, and he was introducing new music. And they give us like half a verse of one. Happens sometimes. What was three?
Boy, it's hard not to say the Rolling Stones really fast. I love the Stones.
So one more music question. How about is it 76 or 7 at the Silverdome? A band you'll probably never see.
But Led Zeppelin?
He'd be my top. That'd be the top band right now. Were you there?
No, I was not. I was still in Chicago in high school, but I probably would have been there.
You missed out on your Zeppelin show, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to see Zeppelin on that tour at Chicago Stadium, and they played six songs? Yeah. We just looked at the set list. Mm-hmm. I think he played six songs, and Jimmy Page started sitting on the amp looking not so good, and then they took a break. And it was the third or fourth night they'd played. And so I'm like, wait, this nobody told me about this, because everybody had said, oh, yeah, Kashmir, and then, you know, we need the whole set list, Trampled Underfoot. And I'm like, nobody said anything about this. And they go off stage, and everybody's like, what's going on? Lights go up. And then everybody's like, what? Oh. And then you hear Plant over the PA say, Jimmy Page has gastrointestinalitis.
Fake.
Lie. I thought you were going to say you were at a Guns N' Roses concert. That was normal.
Yeah.
Right. Delay.
At least they finished when they started. But yeah. And he said, we were lucky to see him at all. And everybody get full refunds. And they'd come back and make up the show. And I can tell you, the six songs I saw, that was spectacular. I could not believe Plant's voice was unbelievable. The rafters were shaking. Page was fantastic. But that's all I got, because Robert Plant's son died not long after that, and the rescheduled show was canceled. So I did see him for six songs, and it was great.
Just do me a favor, because I was on the security crew. They had a big wall in front, and they had 55-gallon drums filled with cement. We stood on the cement, and we were between the wall and the stage. But every picture that I've seen from that concert, I'm right there, but I'm not there.
Really?
So that's the Led Zeppelin show?
Led Zeppelin 77? Show, 76 or 7 in
Silverdome?
You're going to see them. You can't.
It's got to be the same tour.
Yeah.
They were very good.
And I saw Page and Plant in 96, which isn't the same thing, but they were very good. Very good at the Palace.
You've been into Liverpool?
I have not. I've been to London, and I will go to Liverpool. That will happen.
Take the train down there. We had they have guys that have cabs, and they run you around to the different places. It's a riot.
So where
would
you...
I don't think anyone local does it, but who cares?
I'll show you.
Where would you be on this one? Like down around here, right at the front? So,
hey, that is Trampled Underfoot.
Yep.
Right there.
Okay. We're going to find another one then.
Between the band and the crowd.
Yeah.
Between the band and the crowd. He's between the barrier and the front of the stage.
Right. He's in front of the front row. Yeah. Wow.
Did you have to discipline anyone?
Back then, they used extreme measures if people tried to... Well, it was hot, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a picture here where they're spraying everybody down with a hose.
Yeah, it was so hot, number one, and people were trying to get to the front, and they were disrobing because it was so hot.
Nice.
So it's kind of hard to
worse.
Yeah. But when you're taking... You know, I went to another it was Metallica at the Silverdome. It was Guns N' Roses. It was Faith No More.
Oh, that's an infamous
one. Yeah, we had our young daughter there. And did you guys go to that one?
No.
No.
In between? We were like, oh, let's put a mask on. We didn't really. We were uncomfortable with what she was being exposed to.
Oh boy. Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the cam. Yeah,
they had the cam.
Oh, that's right.
So sorry.
But Detroit is... a great place to watch rock and roll. It's
awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
So how long did you do security? Was it just at the Silverdome? Or?
It's just that you're looking right up there right now.
I know. You got to be around there somewhere.
Yeah. It was just a one-night gig. A bunch of football players from Michigan State. It was in the off season, and we went over there and did it gratis, of course.
Oh, well, you got to see the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
college athlete, too.
It was pretty. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Hold it. What's your clearance?
So after Led Zeppelin, Metallica, GNR, is there a third or fourth?
No, I wouldn't. I'm just saying that wasn't my top three. I just was going to the concert.
Okay. What are your top three?
Like AC/DC. I did lose my hearing permanently at that concert.
So did Brian Johnson.
Louder! No.
They don't have any ballads.
Beatles.
Either.
Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones would be probably nice. What do you got, KR?
Yep.
So
that's it.
So in 2000...
What about KR?
I'm a big Led Zeppelin guy, and I'm also part of your Fish fan.
All right.
Okay.
You don't want to stand contingent. Next to him at a concert.
Yeah. A little Grateful Dead, Pink Floyd, you know, classic rock, alternative 90s. We're a very musical household. We had the riff on a lot.
I was going to say, jam bands, The Dead and Fish.
Yeah, so
I'm just starting to dig Fish at my age.
I took him to see Phil. He saw Phil Lesh, so he was at a... At
Chicago.
A, at a very hot... A lot of weirdos, but he's made it through the whole show. And
it's good people watching.
Oh, it's great people watching. God, The Dead, I still remember. We went live in the Palace parking lot. I think Trudy was there, and oh, my God, people are so funny. You know, they all need a miracle, which is a free ticket. Yeah. So they're selling grilled cheese sandwiches. You can pose with a giant snake around your neck. Yeah, I remember that one.
Did you do it?
No, I didn't. I was more fascinated. I'm going to pay somebody to put a snake. First of all, I don't want a snake around my neck.
Neither do I.
I didn't believe anybody was doing it.
I hate snakes.
But they were. Deadheads were really something. Fish have filled quite a slot there. The Allman Brothers are gone, too. Great jam band.
It's amazing how many bands that were there when we grew up are still performing, though.
I can't believe it, because I love that that new wave period, punk and new wave, 77 to 80, which didn't go over well in Detroit. But I love a lot of those bands, and they are still out there. Elvis Costello, the Psychedelic Furs were just here. Roxy Music was just here. They're more glam, I guess. But
so when you were at the Tigers, who was the DJ in the locker room? Were you in control?
No, they basically it was the starting pitcher who got to pick, and it moved around. If we didn't like it, we just changed it.
Well, who was the worst DJ? Was it? Out of all those starting pitchers,
honestly,
Juan Berenguer.
You got to think of the AM radio, CKLW. That's what we were playing back in the late 70s. We had no video. And then VHS came out. You know, the tape, the big old tape.
Yeah,
so you got to have like a front end loader to carry the tape.
I know, it's so big. Ridiculous.
And but we what we used to watch a lot before the game was Jeopardy.
Oh, great show. You can compete on that.
No.
No?
And, well, there's a teammate of mine that everybody, he's a great guy, and we took a lot of crap from him, but we would be, somebody would say, they'd ask a question, who is the only All-Star, MVP never to be an All-Star? And so one of the guys would yell out, what is who gives a shit? Who do you think would do that? Tram. We all had our little,
That's great.
When those guys went into Cooperstown, we hooked up and rented a house. And we walked down to the ceremony place in Cooperstown. It's pretty cool. And the vocabulary that you used in 1984... has been dormant until then. Incredible. We had a good time, though.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a lot of fun. Kirk Gibson is with us, and I'll keep saying it, www.evsp.org is the website to get tickets for Motor City Soundboard, Everybody versus Parkinson's, and we've got over 2 months now
We're getting down there. We've been soliciting sponsorships, and... We've had a lot of great support, and it really, you'll see the list of names and businesses. It is like everybody is into the whole thing. Now we're going to start selling seats and try and get as many people there as we can get and create a special and a magical moment. It's a good feeling to help people. I did a speaking engagement for Angel's Place. Have you ever been there?
Angel's Place?
Angel's Place is for autistic children, and what they do is they raise money and they build homes, and when the autistic children turn to adults, they move them into a home so they have family with other autistic children, and there's obviously a supervision in there. So
That works out?
Yeah, that works out, and so they want, obviously, they're raising money, and I said, how much money did you want to raise tonight? And she was, when you put on an event, you're always looking at the numbers. Oh, she was nervous, and I'm not going to say her name. But I gave a talk, and it was basically about recognizing while it's happening how you form a team and what it means to be on a team. And I told a bunch of stories how it worked for me looking back. Then I said, well, what does it all mean to you guys? And I said, what it means is I'm going to start a team tonight, And this team is going to be designed after kind of like a 401k program.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were going to get a job and they said, we're going to offer you a 401k, what would you ask after?
I'd ask, what's the matching? What's the match?
Yeah, see, you
and
bet.
And what's the max I can put in?
Yep. And so I said, I'll start with $5,000, and I'm looking for somebody to match. And, man, you should have seen everybody lock up. There's 800 people there, and they locked up. And then finally I said, I said, sir, I saw you flinch back there. Go ahead. Raised his hand.
Oh.
And then another, then another, then another. 38 people later.
Wow.
We raised, it was $175,000,
$180,000. 30 times 5 is 150. 8 times 5 is 40.
We'll not stop competing with you.
So anyway, I just got a thank you from her, and they built the house. And
wow.
That's great. That is really, really rewarding when you can pull stuff off like that. So, you know, you come in, we'll get everybody in the mood to help others, and hopefully it'll be historic in some way.
Well, we'll take some tickets off your hand and help any way we can. And I'm sure we'll get some people to go, too. And as we get closer, maybe we should talk again or whatever.
Has Eli been around lately?
Yes, he has. We have a clip of today's show for you.
When isn't he here?
Hey, Gibby.
Oh, yeah, from today's show.
Eli Denny and Bob Page.
Yeah, here's a little clip just from today. Let me find it real quick.
I think Eli's trying to do a commercial is what's happening.
Yeah.
I think he gets a little upset.
You know what? You're both idiots. I'm working with two stinking idiots. In fact, let's erase this and go back to where I read my spot and shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God.
Because you're mentioning car in the middle of my spot. Oh, you're mentioning a Ford in the middle of a Lincoln spot. What the fuck is that all about?
I love how
as fiery as ever.
They do. They get so wigged out.
I love how innocent Denny was acting. They're like, what?
I
didn't do anything.
When Gary and Eli and I did that show.
That was a good show. I liked that show.
Yeah. I don't know how you guys do it. That was my toughest thing that I've done.
What was so hard about it?
I had to be there every day at 3 o'clock and, you know, sit and talk, you know, in the studio. And, you know, I'd prefer to be moving and doing competing somewhere else. And, you know, it takes special people to handle certain questions, I guess, too. But you guys have always done a great job.
Thank you.
Eli's always done a great job. And
he does.
George Kell would always say, back to you, Eli.
Eli's always talking about that show and how he has great fond memories.
Love that show.
Yeah.
I don't think
He was the catalyst, and, you know, he really was innovative in the way that show went off, and we had the Get in the Games. Do you remember any of those Get in the Game things we do?
Yes.
Well, you did one, so you remember. But
yeah.
The one I remember was we were playing racquetball over next to the Joe Dumars field house, and we were playing against two ladies. And, you know, Gary had a bad knee. And, you know, this seventh game of the World Series to me always. Gary knew it, so he just kind of jerked me around. And so we got done. I think we squeaked out a win. And
did these ladies play a lot? They probably did.
Yeah, they were good. Okay, uh-huh. And so she started to walk out, and she was kind of talking trash. I mean, she said, let's go. We'll play a game. So
one-on-one?
Yeah, so we started playing, and she served one down in the corner, the left corner, to my backhand, and she moved over, and I let a screamer go, and I hit her right in the back of the, the back of the knee, and it turned instantly black. And,
ooh.
And I said, I felt so bad, but I said, hey, you got to give me that lane.
Yeah, we have actual audio of that game.
Yeah. Oh, we do?
That.
Yeah.
How about that?
Fucking shoot.
Yeah, great. No video, but audio.
Oh,
you got some, Trudy?
Intense.
No, I was just going to ask if you needed another.
No, that's good. I'm good.
Yeah, we'll let you go. I think we got the word out. We'll continue to get it out. And like you said, it's funny. I never heard anybody say these events come up all the time, but nobody ever said we're going to make something special happen. So I'm putting myself on alert to.
Well, you're going to be there. You said
I will
think
be there.
Be special.
I will be there.
I want you to consider being a part of it.
I will. We'll
How
talk
about if we were to do another song like I'm 70. Give me some ideas. Anybody
sure.
got one?
See what a challenge you are, man? God.
No.
I'm on my face and man's.
the top of my head.
Still had my hair, but I had no ass. Forget my name and most of my plans. I was a boy, now I'm an old man. I'm 70. It's getting harder to stand.
Ouch!
I'm 70.
This one looked okay there.
In my pants. I'm 70. And I'm here to stay. I eat prunes every day. That's okay. Because I cough every day. Oh, yeah. That's Bobby East, and did you see the drummer?
No, I didn't. Who is it? Is it Johnny B?
Yep.
No, that was Johnny B.
Johnny B.
Ah, Johnny B's great.
You know what? I went in that studio, and those guys were playing those tracks down, and man, that sounded good.
It does sound good.
Who put this video together? Who's the genius behind that?
James Torres.
It's really good.
James Whalen.
Yeah.
You know James Whalen?
I don't.
He's in a band called The Reefer Men.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know the Reefer Men. I just didn't know he was in it.
Yeah, we're thinking of another, and he wants me to do an Iggy Pop song. But
oh, you should.
What song?
What do you think, Kurt?
Oh, he didn't name a song?
No, he didn't tell me yet.
Lust for Life?
Passenger?
I'm going to be your dog.
Be your dog. Yeah.
That's the one, I want to be your dog. He was up in the, when last time he played, it was the Fox, wasn't it? Or was it at...
I saw him at DTE.
He was at
when he had the Stooges.
Yeah, he.
Yeah, he played the
last
Fox.
Story I got to tell you. Okay,
bring it.
By Iggy Pop. We were in San Francisco. Bob Melvin was our manager. He played here for the Tigers. I said, "Hey, I want to take you to concert at the Fillmore tonight." We had an off day. He goes, "All right, who is it?" I said, "It's Iggy Pop." So he says, "Oh, I never really heard of him." So I see. He says, "What should I wear?" a nice bright shirt. This guy's about 6'6", 6'7". He walked in there. Everybody had black on. Yeah. He locked up. He stayed in the last row. But he said, "Man, I didn't really get his music." Anyway,
great.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it was great, Kurt.
Thank you.
And we'll just take a break and walk you out. Okay?
You need to watch the dogs.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, watch out there. They're vicious. And I'm all shriveled up. I'm 70. I keep my teeth in a cup. I'm 70. Getting old kind of sucks.
Thank you to Kirk Gibson and Kirk Robert.
Wow.
I don't know if Kirk Robert was here just for fun or if he's kind of helping his dad out.
He's a fan
Very
of our
integral.
Show.
I know. No, he does listen. He knows some stuff. Kirk, I texted Kirk quickly to thank him, and he ended it with "Keep it stiff." So somebody's listening. And please make sure to link to Kirk Gibson Foundation.
Yes.
And, yeah, we'll get the website and all that out there. And I will be there. I've retired from live events, but apparently I'm coming out of retirement for this one.
You've retired from live events?
I'm flying out of retirement. Well, there's going to be much bigger people than me there, so it's not reliant. I'm just a promotional vehicle.
I see. Well, he didn't
think
so.
I'll be a vivacious, bubbly person at the event, and I'll be delighted to
vivacious.
Mix it up.
Vivacious and bubbly, huh?
Yeah. No, I get fun. Kirk, he challenges me.
I know. It's great.
I know.
I'm going to be challenged to be an exciting
spot.
Personality on site. I'm challenged to come out of retirement.
Can you? Do you think you can do it?
Yes, I think I can. I think Kirk will. He'll give me the evil eye if I stand in the corner.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He's tough.
I want to be there when he straightens out your swing.
I want to be there, too. I'm excited to be there. I want to do some swinging.
You're
I can
an
still
integral
hit the ball.
Part of that.
I think I've still got my swing. I can't believe he didn't appreciate the picture I showed him. I was hitting a high pitch down. I think it was a double. I believe the reality of that swing was that it was a double.
Well, that must be true, because if you were lying, you would have said you hit it out of the park.
I wish I could say that. I used to have a picture of a home run, but I don't think I have it anymore.
It's a lot of homers.
Oh, boy, the light is not the best on this picture, but it'll do. It's Kirk. Everybody's smiling.
Are we?
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
How's your picture, Trudy?
Trudy's was great.
Turned out pretty good. Yeah, I've got 1-2 because I had Bill Goldberg from Saturday, which was pretty cool too. Goldberg the wrestler.
Oh yeah, you were at the drag race.
Yeah, Roadkill Nights, powered by Dodge, which is just roadkill because everybody wears the sun on your guns type sleeveless t-shirts.
I didn't even know what that was until you were talking about it. I'm like,
oh my
God.
I
knew they did that in Pontiac, but
that was amazing. I could not believe how much fun that was once you get there because the degree of difficulty. They shut down Woodward. It's literally on Woodward for all of the, way north of Dr. Roshan's office.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, and how flawed the pavement is and all of that. But still, they run those drag races. And they're the most random pairings of drag races. Like some amazing tuner that just goes 900 miles an hour. Sounds like it's going to, next to some dude in a pickup truck that, uses it to commute back and forth to work.
I have to ask the obvious question. Were there any accidents?
There was. Yeah. Actually, Goldberg spotted it first.
Really? Did he save everybody?
Goldberg!
Nobody called attention to it, heroically. But it was, the winning car was a Mustang, and it got to the end, and it started to turn around, and it ran right through the fence.
Oh.
It didn't turn tight enough.
Oh, like a race car, I bet it's quick.
And they had to shut it down for a little while, and the fire came, ambulance, cool. And all of that.
Whoa. What is it, a race car?
But nobody's hurt?
I don't know. I really did not hear whether anybody was hurt, because they, it's right there by the hospital.
Mm. I'm going to burn up the rubber with my Lamborghini.
No, I didn't ask Kirk about Michael J. Fox, and that was a weird. It was like the first thing that came to mind was, I wonder if he talks to Michael J. Fox. I wonder if he would be invited to this, and then I thought, wait, is that like asking a black person if a black person is their friend?
Obama? Asking a black person about Obama or something?
Yeah, kind of.
Hey, you must know Obama.
But I don't know. I feel like the Parkinson's community has to be super tight,
so.
Especially people at that level raising money.
Yeah.
Well, they're all in it to overcome what's going on there.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
So Trump tweeted about the Russian missile explosion, the prototype.
That was kind of a ha-ha-ha-ha-ha thing.
Yeah. Can you read the tweet, Brandon?
Yeah, it said, let's see. The United States is learning much from the failed missile explosion in Russia. We have similar, though more advanced, technology. The Russian Skyfall explosion has people worried about the air around the facility and far beyond. Not good.
So he basically said nothing.
Pretty much, he bragged.
What information is there?
Ours is better, theirs sucks, and it's dangerous.
Did he give away a secret, though, that if ours is better, ours goes anywhere in the world, too? Because that was the idea behind that missile, right? That it could go...
Sexual audio of the explosion. We've just received that. I heard...
Ready for a bomb?
It wasn't even supposed to go off, but some guy fell down the stairs, and I guess he hit the lever or something. I don't know. Do we have that audio, too, Brandon?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
The video was just released.
That was weird. You could hear when he hit the button. Sounds like there were three explosions.
Wow. Ludicrous.
Yeah, I can hear you in Russia.
Oh. It's named after James Bond?
Yeah.
Yes. It sounds like it. I mean, what else would it be named after? Just getting back into the show and some of the rando things going on. Someone sent me the Wikipedia page for the Monkey Mobile.
Oh, really?
And the last line is, the car, in great condition, now has spongy brakes.
Oh,
no.
Serious?
Yes.
What?
It does. Oh, man. Are you looking at it?
I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise it's a pretty normal entry. It says it was sold for...
All right, that sounds great.
Right under the later years portion.
And it's attributed.
It says...
What are the attributes there?
I'll find it in just a second.
Oh, says, my God.
It now resides in the hands of a private collector in southeast Michigan. The car, though in great condition, now has spongy brakes.
I wonder if Mel knows about this.
Mike Clark, it's his last word.
The Monkey Mobile is the coolest car on the planet.
It is a cool car. Should we try Mel?
No.
It's Dream Cruise Week. When
does
else
not
can we
be
try
bothered.
Him? I don't know. Can we just try him?
All right. If you want.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. It's going to be unsuccessful. This is a fool's errand.
Maybe he'll answer the phone.
He might answer the phone because it's a big, busy week, and he'll miss that it's the phone number that he's
already
blocked. No,
we're probably just blocked from it.
Yeah, I don't have his number right now.
What do you mean? What about the number we used to have? What about Lumber 84 or whatever? We'll just call the office.
He changed it. He sold the company. He was so mad at us.
Do you
Harry,
have it, Mark?
That sounds great.
They still don't answer. They haven't been answering the phone for a year.
They went out of business avoiding us.
People have done it before.
Yeah, here it is, Brandon.
You know, I was trying to think of our lifetime enemies. Monkey Mobile Mel is one of our biggest enemies. And the fight
Started
song turd, he's been an enemy for, 15, 17 years now?
Yeah.
And the Prince.
Oh, the Prince, yeah.
And GTE went out of business.
GTE call block. Because we got through it after being blocked.
That's great. We got to have more enemies.
Yeah, we should make an enemies list.
Sounds like David Trump's getting up there. I don't know.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know.
Is his family the one that runs the strip club on 8 Mile?
Trump? Oh, I never thought of that.
I cruised past it today. I was like, it's spelled like David Trump.
There's no way.
P's.
Hall Financial Hotline is open. That's what's really important. Huh. Call David Hall, 248-308-5000. Or go to drewandmike.hallfg.com and get working on a refi to save you some money or buy your dream home, your first home.
We got two numbers here, so... Patient.
I still like these Monkey songs.
You hit the post, Drew.
I know. That was an accident. Sebastian Heart song, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Bloop.
They had great writers. Neil Diamond.
Bloop, bloop.
I made the rest of Gibby's.
They started
Apple Donut.
Hello, and thank you for calling Guthrie Lumber. If you know these...
And if this is the Drew Mike Show, buzz off.
Let me try his personal.
Okay. I don't even know if there's people in his world that know people in our world that will tell him, hey, they're trying to call you.
Well, there was one.
Wait, how do we know that?
I think I've told that before. The one girl I talked to, it's like he just doesn't want to. Do any interviews with you guys.
Oh.
So I don't know if anybody told them anything.
They're interviews. Part of our continuing story.
Just take his side no matter what. If you want to rebuild this relationship.
You could just blame it all on Charlie.
That sounds great.
Oh, I thought it was Mike who accused him of having spongy breaks.
He did, but something happened last year.
Oh.
We made it through the spongy breaks problem.
Hi, this is Mel. Please leave a message.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Mel. It's the Drew and Mike Show. The cruise is coming up. It's time for our annual visit.
Miss you.
Yeah, we miss you. I don't know, something happened last year. It's crazy. But we wanted to talk and find out if maybe there was an event you wanted to plug where the Monkey Mobile was going to be, because people love seeing the Monkey Mobile. Mm-hmm. And we always love hearing from you. And I know it's been a couple bumps in the road, but... those are in the past, of course. So please call us back at this 248 number. That's the hotline. If you get this next 45 minutes, we'll still be on. Thanks, Mel.
Thanks, Mel.
Love Mel.
Bye. Love the car.
Love you, Mel.
It's the coolest Kiara on the planet.
Bye.
Tell him it's going to be on wheels. Maybe he'd be interested.
Oh, that was a big mistake.
We should have just booked it as wheels.
Kissing Monkey Mobile Mel's ass. Ridiculous.
Well, no, it's not. It's the coolest car on the planet.
Coolest car.
We got to rebuild that
it
relationship.
It is cool. And his accent is unmistakably cool. Nobody talks like Monkey Mobile Mel. I wonder, did
the
somebody...
The Monkey Mobile is the coolest car on the planet.
He knew we had drops of him, didn't we? We've been playing him for years.
I would be very sad.
Actually, we don't have as many as we used to. We used to have a ton.
Someone took it to Puerto Rico and it got crashed. Oh, no, what happened?
That sounds great.
It got keyed, didn't it?
Yeah, it got keyed.
Puerto Rico.
Was it in Puerto Rico?
Yeah. hair was scratched in Puerto Rico. It's a really hard.
He took the car to Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
No, I don't think he took it. I think it was he was giving us the history of the mobile. Wasn't
oh, okay.
He?
Yeah.
Why would anybody take the monkey mobile to?
Because it's the coolest car on the planet, not just the United States.
Everyone in Puerto Rico loves the monkey mobile.
Can you make the money back that it takes to get it to Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico.
Do they like it that much? I'm proud of it. Obviously, it's a great car. I'm sure they made money on it. Joe Biden had another gaffe.
Oh my God!
Just hang it up, Biden. You're so toast.
What do you do if you're running his campaign? Don't you just keep him off TV for a while?
Tell him to shut up. He's so
honestly,
cooked.
If he's off the script, it just seems like, I don't know.
I gotta say, doesn't it seem like he really just doesn't want to be president? Like he's kind of going through the motions.
Almost.
Yeah,
everyone's
sort of
making him do this. It's like Gibby putting you on the spot. Everyone's put Biden on the spot, and he just is like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah, I can't imagine why he would want to be president.
I honestly don't think he does.
It was his son's dying wish.
Hey! Oh, by the way, his other son was spotted recently.
Oh, no.
Hunter Biden?
Yeah. Let's see if I can find that story. With his wife. Mm.
His wife of that he's only known for like 2 months?
Yeah. They bonded. They have matching tattoos.
That's right. I forgot.
Shoot, I can't find that story. Oh, did you see about de Blasio's sweet stump he had yesterday? I got a phone number for the place if you want to call and hear about it.
De Blasio?
It.
What did he do?
Bill de Blasio, by the way, who is pushing a conspiracy theory about Jeffrey Epstein as is Trump.
Yeah, somebody else.
Kind of horseshit.
Somebody else is pushing a conspiracy theory. Joe Scarborough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he's not running for president.
Well, I know, but he's a figure who is very much listened to, watched.
What is his conspiracy theory? That
the Russians?
Same as Baldwin.
Oh, the Russians. Oh.
Yeah, maybe that's where Baldwin got his.
Probably. So de Blasio.
Secondhand conspiracy theory?
You know, they're all in Iowa right now because of the state fair and all that stupid stuff.
Oh, boy.
So de Blasio's at a pub in Cedar Rapids. How many people do you think showed up to the pub to see Bill de Blasio speak?
50? 15.
Okay.
15? I would never be there. If I was seriously walking by the place as his event was starting, I wouldn't walk in.
He is such a disaster.
I'd walk away. No,
if you had to go to the bathroom.
If I had to go to the bathroom, I'd go somewhere else. I really would because I'd be afraid that this stupid event would have started.
Yeah. No, I mean, could you imagine if you really wanted to go to the pub just to eat? Like, so you know de Blasio's there?
So...
15 people.
What's his theory exactly? Just the Russians facilitated
the
suicide?
I got to find it. I heard it this morning and I rolled my eyes.
You know what's strange? I think it's probably just basic incompetence, government incompetence, because anything the government runs can be incredibly incompetent. And this would fall in line with that. It's not implausible to me at all. In fact, I do believe the story that his attorneys got the suicide watch concluded. Why they would care what his attorneys say, I can't fathom. Mm-hmm. He and his attorneys have said way too much. No, him too little. His attorneys too much. After what happened in the previous deal, they should have no bearing on anything other than something that directly defends him. As far as the suicide watch, fuck, who cares if they want him a fucking suicide? Fuck you.
De Blasio's quote was, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but something's way too convenient here, and we need to get to the bottom of what happened. Is it maybe because he's the mayor and it happened in his city? But it was a federal, but it was a federal, you know, jail.
Sure seems fishy.
It's not a, I thought it was a city jail.
Was it?
Well, I'll tell you why I thought that. Because it's MCC, which I thought was sounded like a
Manhattan
city jail. And then also they had the former head of corrections in New York City on talking about it. And I just assumed that it was something he wouldn't know about as opposed to federal.
You know what the building reminded me of? The boondoggle, if it had been completed. The boondoggle in
Detroit.
Oh,
our boondoggle?
Yeah.
It just Charlie's boondoggle?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It really
it wasn't
like
Charlie's boondoggle. It was actually... Charlie called it the boondoggle. Right. Ficano's boondoggle.
So he strangled himself with a sheet, which didn't, I mean, wouldn't they minimally remove sheet? And of course, you don't
not
have.
Now when he's off suicide watch.
You don't have shoelaces in prison because you have to wear those prison shoes.
Right. He's off suicide watch. So it sounds like.
So give the sheets and the shoelaces back.
Goddamn shoes.
I mean,
I don't know.
At the very least,
it's very intriguing. I was trying to think of, well, as far as conspiracy theories, I don't know. I feel more interested in them right now. Not, I still don't believe most of them. I think they're bullshit. But there is some really interesting stuff going on. Trudy and I were talking about it when Gibby was leaving, that this whole business of Russia getting these videos of Permit Patty and Barbecue Becky to go multi-million viral, and then our news operations just running them wildly, which they did. They all did.
Being spoon-fed?
Yeah. I felt like, wow, they really are doing something. I mean, they really got people kind of wigged out about that, because those stories were extremely – they were disturbing. They were visceral. I mean, you couldn't watch them and not go, ugh. And the hate that they, you know,
generated,
brought down on those people.
Uh-huh.
And it made me think – it made me start wondering about – did they pump up the Covington High School thing too? Because that thing was
that was a Brazilian. That was a Brazilian one. Remember, we've talked about that.
A Brazilian
the account where it started that really got it pushed was a Brazilian troll.
Russian who lives in Brazil.
Farm, yeah.
Russian
and
who lives in Brazil?
And that tweet that started it was very specific. It edited things a certain way that made it look worse than it was. Mm. And it also told some lies. It said, oh, they're chanting, build the wall, and blah, blah, blah.
I blame the celebrities for that one.
Well, the celebrities jumped all over it, and they were begging, you know, dox this kid, this smirking racist bigot, and dox the school, and dox the principal. And they were. They were doxed really fast. In fact, within about an hour, they were telling us that the 16-year-old, what is his name again?
Nicholas Sammon.
That he had bought term papers from some cheat service. I mean, this crazy stuff was coming out. And then
maybe people should stop believing Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
Twitter is used as a news source now. You can just say, on Twitter, they're talking about this.
Especially
you don't have to vet what they're talking about.
They're not news agencies, though, but especially those entertainment shows in the morning that used to be news shows.
Well, Covington, though, was on every network, every news show. CNN was the first to have their discussion panel on it, and it was bloody. I mean, it was brutal. It was horrible. And not to mention, he was 16, and they were showing his face all over the place. Look at that smirking 16-year-old racist.
Yeah. Because that face was what made it virally...
And the hat.
Outrageous, yeah.
And the Vietnam vet... was disrespected, and the build the wall, and nobody even heard about the guys that were screaming.
Did you see he lost?
The Israelites, whatever they were.
Oh, yeah, I forget.
They weren't even part of the story, and once it became apparent that they had basically created this whole event by screaming at the kids, nobody interviewed them. Nobody cared about them. It was like, forget it.
Well, that's because that was created just for that reason. That was promoted, and it was...
Right. It didn't fit the Russian agenda.
The kerosene was poured on it by the Russian trolls.
Did you see his lawsuit got tossed against the Washington Post?
No, I did not.
Because the judge said, even though... Nathan Phillips.
drummer boy.
Even though he lied, and the judge said that. I thought the judge's ruling was... The way he worded it was pretty good, but even though he lied about it, the Washington Post basically just reported what happened.
Yeah, so they had his.
I don't know what the Washington Post reported specifically, but the CNN story
they reported
is
his quotes,
abominable
Nathan Phillips's quotes and other people's quotes, and that's kind of what the point was, that they're reporting the news, even though this dude lied.
But they didn't report the whole story. In fact, some of them did even say NBC did this. Okay, turns out there's more to the story. Wow. And here, you know, the world of hate has descended on the school and the student and, you know, a 16-year-old kid wearing a MAGA hat. And, it turns out there's more to the story. It's crazy. Sorry we made you hate him so much.
Well, I mean, I'm really grateful that Dick Engel from NBC came forward and, I mean, eventually found out about how the Russian troll farm is pushing all of these, making them viral. Causing division, and that's kind of the biggest thing that they love.
It works.
It's interesting, isn't it?
We're dumb.
Yeah, so if you get sucked in, you could say,
I just
working for the Russians.
Isn't it interesting, though, that all the newscasts pick these stories up, too?
I know. They're supposed to.
It's distressing, isn't it?
Critical thinkers.
Well, and I usually find myself saying, wait, is this chick named Becky calling the police on this black guy to not use the barbecue that's out of bounds? You know, whatever, because it was they weren't supposed to use the barbecue, and she told them, "You're not supposed to use that one." And they were like, "Yeah, get out of here, lady!" And she calls the police. And so, is her calling the police on those people? Is that really like the third story, most important story that day? Anyway,
of course not.
No.
So,
unless what are you going to do? Watch? What are you going to listen to? Boring NPR or boring
CBS?
I wonder if NPR carried it. I bet you they did.
Boring CBS This Morning.
Possible racism that they always report.
Because it's
that.
Video.
That's their hot button. That's how they're getting people to stop by, and that's how they get clicks.
So it almost tells you they don't care.
No, I don't think so. I think if they had a decent news manager running those shows,
then they'd fail. They'd be in last, like CBS This Morning, because they're giving the consumers what they want to consume. People want to be mad. People want to.
I know.
Be
is
divisive.
It,
people want to be angry.
It really cracks me up.
Want to be pawns of the Russians, then.
You know, blame the media all you want, but we eat it up.
Well,
lap it up, man. We love it.
I was telling someone, who I won't name, about the Rosanna Arquette story. And, you know, she really seems
There's
like
a hilarious update to that, too, by the way.
She's trying to outrage everyone. You know, I am so ashamed of being white and privileged. And she goes on to say that, you know, she's desolate over the racism and something going, you know, it sounds like she's trying to really top everyone else somehow. And it seems like there is an outrage contest going on. But anyway, I was telling this person, who I won't name, who you all know, about this story. And this person, I won't say if it's a he or she, said, oh, this is what happens when the news turns over to the millennials.
Oh. What? Oh, man.
Is this person in the room?
No. So I sort of suggesting that the millennial reporters and news directors and such might be.
The millennials are not in charge of all the news right now. It's
they're
really
pretty big. Yeah. They're big. I mean, no, I think that was a little generalized, but I laughed.
The update to it was, though, she had to shutter her Twitter accounts because the FBI told her to.
Yeah.
Which made me think, wait a sec. The FBI wasn't just sitting around going, we got to take care of Rosanna Arquette's Twitter. No, instead, she must have contacted them over threats.
Oh, my God.
Which is just as bad as Barbecue Becky calling the cops over something, you know, minor. Stop wasting these law enforcement people's time with bullshit. Grow up, Arquette.
I forgot one of the really silly things in her story. And this was in the update, too. That when she was 4 years old, her mother put her in an all-black nursery.
Fake! I want proof.
I want pictures.
This is an all-black nursery anyway.
I know.
And because by her being there, it's not an all-black nursery anymore.
What the fuck?
She grew up in Hollywood.
Her mother said, I'm putting you in an all-black nursery to make you more woke.
That is the...
it just sounds so stupid.
No way that is true.
No.
It's impossible. I like that the all-black nursery accepted her. It's very inclusive of them.
You need to be in an all-black nursery so you understand how privileged and white and how ashamed you should be.
It really worked, didn't it?
Yeah, she's ashamed.
You should ask Patricia Arquette if there's any truth to any of this.
What a joke. An all-black nursery.
I'm still angry with your friend, Drew. I will find out who your friend is.
Oh, you will. Okay. That's all right.
Blaming millennials for everything.
Well, you guys do ruin a lot.
We're the biggest scapegoat going on right now.
Yeah, they grew up in Hollywood.
Most of it just
those children of Cliff Arquette was their father. They didn't have any hardship when they were growing up.
That's why she's so ashamed.
Yeah, just Alexis.
There's absolutely no way that happened.
Well,
you
that's
think?
Why she's ashamed.
Isn't Alexis Arquette dead now?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, she is. Patricia Arquette won the Emmy for playing in
Tilly.
The prison one.
Yeah.
Tilly.
Yeah.
Alexis was great in The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
Do you she really was. Want to hurt me?
That was a great movie. I love that movie. All right.
All right, then.
So did I don't think I mentioned that the the most listened to podcast in the show's history changed yesterday.
What?
From being the Tuesday show to being the Thursday show, which has gone over 200,000 downloads.
Hmm. Wow, really?
Yeah. I know. Unbelievable.
Good luck with the podcast.
It was the Tubes Gary Graff guest.
That was the Ben Folds
constellation.
Day. Wasn't it?
Oh, Tuesday was Ben
maybe
Folds.
Maybe that's why.
Ben Folds, was he Thursday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thursday recording? Because that's the Friday show, and that's the one. So it's Ben Folds. Obviously, we need more Ben Folds.
Okay.
I just think it's honestly that the news was flaming hot last week with...
It was William Shatner's son, really.
Oh, that's true. That was a good bit.
Yeah. I was listening back to that on Wheels. It was really, really funny. It's so ridiculous.
You know what we didn't ask him, and someone emailed me this, and I thought it was a great question.
Call him.
Why hasn't he done the DNA thing where you send in your DNA and they show you relatives of Shatner?
He said he did.
What was the result?
He said he found out he was Ashkenazi Jew, and that's what Shatner is.
Yeah.
He mentioned it.
Could they find some relative fairly close to Shatner, though, that was related
because
to him?
Because of the Jews! Only if they've submitted their DNA. I mean,
well, somebody has. It seems like someone always has, doesn't it?
Jews! But they don't really do it that way. I mean, you have to...
The cops do! Looking for murders.
Right, but Shat's
people... They've done that.
The Shatman's people would have had to submit their DNA. And do you think
after
they would?
After all, there's a conga line of people claiming to be his son.
It's such bullshit, by the way.
Oh... Jewish.
I just can't get over
like a conga line.
Can you believe?
There were people upset that we did that entire bit. We talked to William Shatner's son, but we never played.
His stepmom. I don't want to bum him out.
Yeah.
She died before he got to dinner.
What's the address on Barry Drive?
7624 34.
I love when 911's just yelling at him, get your wife out of the pool, you dick.
Yeah.
I can't. She's in the deep end. I've never looked at the house before.
It does seem weird.
Where's
that he
pool?
Didn't get her out of the pool, doesn't it?
It does.
It seems really weird.
Because she can't start breathing until she's out of the pool.
Well, and Shatman can't swim? I mean, is that?
I don't know.
You want to get his hair wet.
You're just a dope.
His toop wet.
I hope this is not a sensitive question, but you're a tough guy, right?
I'm pretty tough, and can we edit this if we...
The hairpiece. It is the best I have ever seen.
A compliment.
Well, I don't wear a hairpiece.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
Well, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard.
Oh, I thought...
Let me put it this way.
Yeah.
Am I talking to MJ?
Yes.
Well, MJ stands for the most jerk. What does it stand for?
No, wait. Let me tell you.
I don't know how to put this, MJ, but that is a stupid question by a rather stupid person.
MJ,
tell me again the
nice
what
comeback.
I really want to say is
right. Worst comeback
it's been a
ever.
Pleasure talking to you.
You're angry at me now.
No, not at all, MJ.
You're just
a dope. But I guess people will understand that over the
in time.
Bye bye, William.
Goodbye.
Okay. Somebody else pointed out and I thought this is brilliant that Peter Shatner on our show called something dopey.
Oh, yeah.
He did. And Shatner called that guy a dope.
Oh.
Who uses
the
dope.
Word nobody uses the word dope.
It's genetic.
I do, but it's pretty rare. I mean
genetic.
It must be genetic.
Totally is. I
thought that was pretty good.
Good. Yeah, good one.
By the way, that Friday show is up to 210,000 downloads. Is this a joke?
Wow.
201,000.
Bangladesh, baby.
I don't know. Is Google broken?
I don't have any Bangladesh. Believe me, I'd be paying for it. It's only $5. It's really cheap. It's really cheap to have the highest rated podcast. And they don't change the downloads either. They just open new Apple accounts.
Yeah.
Because
and rate it.
And that, I got to tell you, it's whatever they're doing to measure is very strange, because it seems like there's a really high, whatever the number they give, it's heavily based on new accounts, new people coming into Apple. Wow. And I don't know what the, I don't know how they do the whole thing, but you know, there's some shows up there. I just keep finding shows that are rated high that have hardly any reviews, like 12 reviews. How can they get that many?
They want to rate them high. It's pick and choose, slash algorithm. It's however they want to control it.
Katy Perry, sexual assault.
Yeah, she's over. She's been over. Now she's over even more.
Josh Kloss, who appeared as a love interest in her 2010 Teenage Dream music video, claims the singer exposed his penis to a crowd of people at a party. It was Johnny Wujek's Johnny Wujek's birthday party at Midlight Rollerway.
What?
When I saw Perry, we hugged, and she was still my crush. Kloss 34 wrote on Instagram. But as I turned to introduce my friend, she pulled my Adidas sweats and underwear out as far as she could to show a couple of her guy friends in the crowd around us my penis.
Ooh, nice.
Can you imagine how pathetic and embarrassed I felt? He's pissed because he wasn't fluffed.
Anyone for penis?
Yeah, he's like, you gotta give me some warning.
The model said he felt compelled to come forward on the anniversary of the video's release because he feels movements like Me Too only focus on female victims. I just say this now because our culture set on proving men of power are perverse, but females with power are just as disgusting.
It's fine, but do you really need to make that statement? Just tell us that everyone saw your little dong at this party and it was Katy Perry's fault. That's all anybody cares about in the story.
Even though, that he hadn't fluffed.
Yeah, yeah.
He needed fluff warning.
Soak it in salt water and see if it plumps up.
I continue to watch her use clips of her music videos for her world tour and then her DVD, only highlighting one of her male co-stars, and it was me. I made around $650 in total off Teenage Dream. I was lured over
pretty
by her reps.
Penis, huh?
That's actual audio.
About not discussing a single thing about anything regarding Katy publicly. In a couple interviews, they edited and answered for me. Ooh. Then it was one of the most confusing, assaulting, and belittling jobs I've ever done.
Oh, man.
Last year, Perry made an American Idol contestant uncomfortable when she gave him his first ever kiss without his consent.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
He's a serial assaulter.
Huh.
Well.
Now everywhere that guy goes.
You're the one with the skinny dingling?
You know, these stories are rather interesting. Like, remember the... I can't remember who. The female who said someone spanked her ass, and then within 10 minutes, a video's out of her spanking someone else, some guy's ass.
Oh, at the beginning of Me Too.
Yeah.
This one?
And I will spank my butthole a little bit.
She's spanking her own.
Remember that? Do you guys remember that?
I do remember. I can't remember who it is.
It was kind of a nobody.
Yeah,
but at the time it was just kind of funny.
Was it the French chick who kind of launched Me Too? Wasn't it?
Oh, was it Asia Argento?
Asia Argento?
Didn't she do something?
Oh, where'd she
By
go?
The way, her cheese is delicious.
No, she had sex with that kid. That was in
17-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I can't remember who the other one was.
Mm-hmm.
What did happen to Asia Argento?
Did she spank someone else though? Was there a video of her spanking someone?
She just went away.
Well, she was canceled. We canceled her.
Weird dude.
That's true. Oh, man, that's what happens when...
And you know what else is strange is she was What's-His-Face's girlfriend who committed suicide. Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain.
Bourdain, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. And
it's a little cocky. And what do you know? Shot down. Mm-hmm. Canceled. She has a new boyfriend.
No one's heard anything from her.
Not a peep, huh?
No. And didn't that break her friendship with Rose McGowan?
Yes, it did. She's canceled by Rose.
Nice friendship.
Tell you. We don't know where Ghislaine Maxwell is, do we?
No, but I was listening to someone speak this morning, and they said that Ghislaine most likely is being incredibly cooperative. And I don't know what they were basing that on. In other words, she's given up information to the feds.
Oh, well, you would think she would, yeah, because what else is she going to? She's otherwise.
I don't know how she couldn't be charged, honestly. I don't know how she could escape without anything.
Yeah, but she's going to plea.
If she's doing something, yeah, it's going to be a plea deal. But she hasn't been charged with anything yet.
But if you read that story,
to give it all up before she's even charged.
She is hanging around in front of high schools, begging girls, mm-hmm. picking out cute girls to massage Jeffrey Epstein and telling her they can make good money, which I thought, is this really happening? But there's so many people saying it happened, it's hard not to believe.
She's instructing them in the fine arts of, you know, giving
features
to Jeffrey Epstein and sexual massage as well. So,
did anyone see Alma on 60 Minutes? The replay was on.
The replay was on, and somebody on the boner line said that there was an update. I thought it was just...
Must watch it then, because I didn't see the update. I know she's as annoying as ever, though. This is the 12-year-old who writes all this incredible music and thinks that she's better than Bach.
She's got all these melodies in her head, Drew. What do you want her to do? She thinks it's weird that you have no melodies in your head.
I know.
Hey, was the Anderson Cooper story a new one, though, from 60 Minutes?
It was all rerun.
Yeah, I thought it was a rerun.
Did you notice the serious issue shallow thought of the guy who was trying to spy on us, who was frustrated because he didn't know how to use the phone?
Oh, yeah.
It's cumbersome. I hate this phone. I was like, my God, you're a spy.
I looked at Alma's website yesterday
you know,
just to torture myself, and she's got all these videos because she made her own, I don't know what the fuck it was, opera or whatever, Cinderella. It's worse than anything that was on the 60 Minutes.
Sure haven't seen her in the Billboard 200 lately. Checking.
I don't remember this.
No Alma.
I remember Cinderella coming to town. Let's see if I can find
her. She's so overrated. She sucks. Plus, she's 12, so people tell her she's better than she is.
Let's see.
Better than she is.
I mean, how many of the 12-year-old guitar virtuosos ended up, you know, being the next Hendrix? None.
Hey, listen to this. This interview. This is her talking about her stupid Cinderella thing.
Oh my God.
It's the worst thing I've ever heard.
It's terrible. That's her singing.
The song sucks
Cinderella's
too.
Cinderella's always been one of my favorites.
Meanwhile, while she's singing, some guy's mopping the stage. Do you think he's thrilled to have this idiot in his way while he's trying to get his job done so he can go home?
People kissing his 12-year-old's ass, who sucks.
Cinderella's always been one of my favorite stories, and ever since I was 3, I really wanted to write a real full-length opera.
No, you didn't. Not since you were 3.
So one day, when I was 8, I started writing music for it. But then I
thought
that it would be performed like this now, on a real stage with a curtain, chorus, and real orchestra and dancers.
You shut up and show your breath.
I never thought I could hate anyone more than the 3-year-old that played with the Boston Pops, but I do hate her more than the 3-year-old.
One day, when I was 8.
You're going to hate all these guys that love her.
The maturity of the way that she's approached the story.
Down by the brook, I wander.
First off,
the fact that
we already know the story of Cinderella.
Cinderella and the prince are artists whose expressions are being, you know, subdued by the forces around them.
The story's the story. She didn't make up the story.
So great about that song.
It's very modern to take this little take on it, to change the story and make
you
it a little more.
Just wanted a job, lady.
She's leaching onto someone else's work.
Centric, perhaps.
She should be sued for plagiarism.
Cinderella this
absolutely
interesting vibe about being
I'll sue her if I have to.
And being a creative spirit, and how that creative spirit is being tamped down.
About?
I need to see her on 60 Minutes. I need the update. So I can hate her more.
Is it at the beginning of this?
Well, it's the last story, I think, isn't it?
I realized
this on the boner line said, did you hope you didn't miss the Alma update on 60 Minutes? She still has melodies in her head. I asked, isn't it just a repeat? I didn't see any update. And he said, that's what I thought, but oh no, it is updated. The young genius with the melodies in her head was part of a rehash. And what's next for the prodigy?
Who cares? What's next is her annoying the next person she talks to.
That was a good use of 60 Minutes money.
Orchestrating and about what he also said her parents are too cheap to update her wardrobe.
Her parents are as bad as she is for kissing her ass.
Alma Deutscher is an accomplished British composer in the classical style. She's a virtuoso on the piano and violin. And when this story first aired 2 years ago, she was 12 years old. She's different from other prodigies we have known because at the age of 10, she wrote an opera which demands comprehensive mastery, not just how to play the piano, but what is the range of the oboe? What can a cellist play?
I hate you!
We don't know how she understands it all. It seems Elma was born that way.
No, she cares.
It's so boring.
What
it's
is your
she's on something too little huge your pupils
musical
are.
Memory?
When I was three.
I remember that when I was three, and I listened to this really beautiful lullaby by Richard Strauss. And that was when I really first realized how much I loved music. And I asked my parents, but how can music be so beautiful?
Do you remember the melody?
Yes. You want me to sing it?
Please.
No! Who gives a fuck?
Those notes of Richard Strauss ignited a universe. At three, Alma was playing piano and violin.
How do we know it's not one of those pianos that just plays itself? We don't know that it's not.
A player piano.
When I was four, I just had these melodies and ideas in my head. And I would play them down at the piano. And sometimes my parents would think that I was just remembering the music that I'd already heard before. But I said, no, no, these are my melodies that I composed.
Oh, you're so humble.
Oh my God, who cares?
Poor adults that have to work with her.
2 years ago, in Austria, we watched Alma prepare her violin concerto and the premiere of her piano concerto. Joji Hattori conducts the Vienna Chamber Orchestra.
Just a clarinet.
Just a clarinet. Yeah. What I really
want. She's so great, there's got to be like 100,000 people at the show, right?
Oh, of course.
If she's so great.
She'd fill the big house.
Yeah.
That night, the soloist was the composer herself. And as you listen, remember,
on her player
she
piano.
Wrote all the notes.
That's like a 2,000-seat venue. She can't be that good. My Mel is living.
Well, Lottie, freaking God!
You fucking bitch!
He obviously got passed over for a role in one of Alma's
films. Apparently. See Alma was living a story.
I don't like her dress either. Just saying.
Story of loss.
Green thing.
Give me Derek all day long.
Aren't we all living a story?
A story of redemption.
I am so good at music.
And that green thing today was enough.
Get over yourself. You're hogging the limelight. There's a bunch of adults who worked all their lives. Oh. Can the player piano stop playing?
Beyond a child.
Chick claims to be a semi-professional pianist, but sounds more like Liberace taking a dump on a chalkboard.
And yet her vision was almost like wisdom.
Oh my God, what? Scott Pelley.
I forgot how horrible Scott Pelley was.
I think I hate Scott Pelley more than I hate her.
Yeah. Do you have any idea where this comes from?
I don't really know, but it's really very normal to me to walk around and have melodies popping into my head. It's the most normal thing in the world. For me, it's strange to walk around and not to have melodies popping into my head.
Oh my God, she's got a cartoon character's eyeballs.
So if I was interviewing you, I would say, well, tell me, Scott.
Biggest pupils I've ever seen.
Not having melodies popping into your head.
It's very quiet in my head, I must say.
It's kind of a shitty thing to say.
Oh my God, who cares?
Oh, she's walking in her backyard singing. How annoying.
Terrible. Is the update at the end? I can't take anymore.
No, please.
Oh, there's your stupid parents.
Yeah, didn't he mispronounce something? Her dad. We jumped all over.
Parents have done. They had another kid that they didn't care about. I think the update. Stop.
What?
I think the update.
Hey, it was Mel.
I'm below the surface.
I'm pretty sure the update.
I think Mel's gone a little overboard.
It
is disappointment.
The update's intertwined. That's the update.
What is?
In the pink dress.
This is?
Yeah. She was never in that. She
had a
concert. She
was
never doing the concert before.
Okay.
I think.
Ever. There's an adult playing the same thing she is right next to her. Yeah. It can't be that good.
They have her microphone muted and he's really carrying it.
Learned about life.
Well, I know that life is not always beautiful, that there's also ugliness in the world.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's awesome.
That's why I've learned that I want to write beautiful music, because I want to make the world a better place.
We
no one's listening to it, though.
How Alma Deutscher channels her music like a portal in time. But in a world a too
anyone
often ugly
play that.
And too often overburdened with explanation, it is nice to take a moment and wonder.
Wonder what, Pelly?
I'd say ELO was much better than this.
I know that is deception. Wow.
I'd rather watch the three-year-old with the Boston Pops. I thought he was better. And less annoying.
Oh, wait, maybe this is the update. His poster.
A selection of her original compositions at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, good.
Oh, nice update, Pelly.
Jesus.
Get over her, Pelly.
From four notes pulled out of a hat. Go to 60MinutesOvertime.com. Sponsored by Eucrisa.
I gotta tell you, Pelly looks really interested in what she's playing.
He looks kind of creepy, honestly. He's a little too into her, isn't he? I mean, I'm not saying anything's happening, but I'd be keeping an eye on him.
I don't. I need a woman.
He's enthralled with her. Really, I mean, it's overboard.
He loves.
Not saying it's anything untoward sexually.
If she started a cult, he would be the first member easily.
He would.
Yeah. He likes stories where he can take his glasses off a lot and put them back on.
Chew on them.
All right, Brandon, why don't you get us out of here? And I want to thank Kirk Gibson again for coming by and mention Everybody versus Parkinson's, www.evsp.org. Kurt Foundation, Kurt Gibson Foundation, by the way, is we're going to link people to that and to the website and all the information. Presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield. It'll be a strolling dinner, live entertainment, dancing, silent live auction, and a VIP cocktail reception with, well, he mentioned Alan Trammell and Steve Eiserman.
And many more to be announced.
I think there will be more announced. Why was he downplaying the star?
Well, it's October, so they have time to work things out, probably.
Get people locked in before they're, you know.
Yeah. I think Dave Rosen will be there, I predict. He will be holding.
What about Jack White?
Why isn't he the MC?
Jack White? Ooh.
What about Jack White?
That'd be cool.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe Rosen will be holding court.
What about Mike Fox?
Mike Fox?
Mike J. Fox, sorry.
Oh, Mike J. Fox? I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah, Rosen will be holding court. Count on that. Who knows? Maybe David Wells?
Wells? You owe him a couple of golf games. And
Eckersley should blow into practice. Town, man.
That'd be cool, too. All those great ideas. But the point is, of course, to raise money for Parkinson's, which Kurt is fighting valiantly. God, he looks fantastic. Doesn't he look good?
Really does.
He looks like Kurt Gibson to me.
Yeah. Yep.
And he acts like him, too, more importantly.
You like what you see.
And KR, thanks. Thanks for being
Yes.
A fan
Kirk
of the
Robert
show.
As well, who apparently listens, which is great. And good to see those guys. Really was inspiring. And look forward to the event, October the 19th. Hope a lot of you will take part as I come out of retirement. Come out of appearance retirement. Trudy's nowhere near retirement.
No. Hell no.
Can't say no.
I know. It's terrible. All right.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Dweller H.
Who can forget the 1950s?
Soda shops, hula hoops, drive-in movies.
Jim Crow, drag racing. And of course, the birth of rock and roll music. Right, Joanne?
That's right, Glenn. And if you're going to talk about rock and roll, you got to talk about the incomparable Chucky Lee Bird.
That's why we are proud to bring you, for the first time anywhere, this 5-disc box set from the poet of teen love himself, Chucky Lee Bird.
Now you can relive that glorious time in music with this rare compilation.
We promise, you can't find these gems anywhere else.
It's like Beauty Queen.
She's my little beauty queen, and she's only 17. But she's my beautiful, beautiful beauty queen. Oh,
and Candy Baby. You said it, Joanne. This collection will bring you back to a simpler time in music, a time of innocence, purity.
Right. Timeless classics like Farmer Girl.
She grows corn.
she grows mean. Her daddy hates me because she's only 14. 14, 14, that's her age. She's 14.
And who could forget about Chucky's classic ode to muscle cars?
Okay, cars, thank God.
My new T-Bird.
She bursts off.
You bet it's insane. Never before have all these hits been compiled and re-released on one collection until now.
No, Glenn, I mean the songs. The songs are insane. They're all about loving teenage girls.
Well, they don't call him the poet of teen love for nothing, Joanne.
Okay, but doesn't he seem pretty old?
He is old, Joanne. It's vintage footage. And folks, if you call right now, we will give you a special bonus disc with some of Chucky's classic B-sides, like... Cruising in my windowless van.
Girl Scout cookie.
I left my heart across state lines.
Simple girl from across the street.
Our love is a crime. Oh, I see what you're saying now.
First day of school ever.
Baby, you can drive my car if I'm in the passenger seat because you only have a permit.
1 and 1 equals 11. Jesus! Cut back to us now, please. So obviously this guy's a pervert and we have to stop the commercial.
Well, I can't just bail on him, Joanne. He's still my grandpa.
This is your grandfather? Have you not listened to the songs?
Well, I mean, I just thought it was a different time back then. It was the 80s.
He made these songs in the 1980s? Who makes 50s rock and roll in the 1980s?
Billy Joel. Ever heard of him?
Yeah, but Billy Joel didn't make pedophile anthems.
He's my grandpa, Joanne!
Order Chucky Lee Bird's Poet of Teen Love compilation box set today.
Call now!